daylight story when you only ask their name. They look at you intensely, but never in the eye. They're afraid you might discover.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston in the world. You killed my mic some. You turned me down.
Just a little bit.
I like to red line.
It's a very nerve.
This is the August 14th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running producer of this show.
And I'm Wes Laverne, the one with the headache tonight.
Ooh. That's why he turned me down.
Yeah, you were blowing out my eardrums.
Well, I had a 24-hour bug starting Thursday night.
Well, then Judy went back home?
I was going to say, that's what you get for going and spending all night at the... Oh, never mind.
No, it wasn't that. It just, you know, all of a sudden, headache, fever, and I was down for the count.
Oh,
I know. I'm just coming out of it. I had to. It was Lloyd and Robert's 25th anniversary.
Woo!
Yeah.
Happy anniversary, you guys.
I mean. 25.
And we are missing the Lube Wrestling.
Yeah, I know it.
Damn it.
We really love our volunteer work here at KPFT. To miss
Lube Wrestling.
Yeah,
and you know what's funny is we talked about that at the Houston Area Bears meeting on Wednesday, and it's like Poppy Carlos and I forget his name now.
Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce were sitting there talking about the Lube Wrestling and everything, and they were going to have a heavyweight category, middleweight category, and a lightweight category.
And it's Renee and somebody else.
I forget who was I know Poppy.
Don Clark?
I want to say Poppy Carlos was supposed to be in the heavyweight.
Yeah, with Bruce.
And then somebody else was, I forget who was in the middleweight.
And then
the lightweights were going to be a couple of Latino guys.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Chris, get back here.
Somebody put him back in his seat. So, yeah, it was supposed to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And that's happening over at the Ripcord, and all of it, with the addition of the drag show they had tonight at Tony's, is a fundraiser for Baring Omega.
And so far they have raised
Omega House.
The show at the at Tony's raised $1,088.
I know. And considering that the air conditioning was just about nil over at Tony's tonight.
Just about?
Woo.
I mean, come on, darling.
Well, right
you could have cooked a ham in there with all those people.
I know.
We did. You should have seen Regina after the show.
Woo! I'm telling.
I saw Phil before I left, and he was already half baked.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh, Phil normally does look.
Oh, no, no, no.
The titanium he had put in is not insulated. You better be careful. Remember, they haven't done your ID card yet.
Well, I already got him good at the meeting Wednesday night. I was told him, I turned and looked at him.
Which meeting?
The Houston Area Bears meeting.
Of which you are now a member.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yes, yes. A voting member. I turned to him in front of every bear in the building and said, "You know, Phil, this is the first time I've seen you not drunk."
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And he said, "Look here, FCC."
Well, it's because the meeting's held early.
Oh.
Yes, it was held at 7 p.m. which was quite fun for me because I had to go from Planet Ford in Spring all the way to Westheimer and 610 between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock.
Ooh.
And got there with 5 minutes to spare.
Oh.
So, yeah.
No wonder you have a headache.
But we had something really nice come out of the HAB meeting.
And Judy is right here.
Yeah. Why don't you go in there with...
Right here for what?
Yeah, go right in there with him for a second.
Right, don't send her in here with me.
Because I think... Because not everybody knows this yet.
No.
Unless they're part of the Louie list. But we at the Houston Area Bears meeting on Wednesday held our annual beneficiary voting meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And as everybody knows, Hatch has been the Houston Area Bears beneficiary for the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
And on Wednesday night, we voted GCAN to be the beneficiary for 2010-2011.
Wow.
I didn't have to come in here to listen to that. I knew that already.
Yes, I know, but it was always... It's nice to hear it anyway, isn't it?
Oh, it's fabulous. And every time I see someone who even remotely knows the Bears, congratulates us. I'm so honored and so excited.
It's just been incredible.
Amazing.
When she told me, I did scream like a little girl.
Oh, my God, he did. He screamed like a little girl. And I'm like,
I did.
James, are you all right? Yes, I'm okay. I was like, down, girl. Take a breath.
Well, GCAM has been around since, what is the month?
Well, we actually incorporated in October of 99.
Okay.
Our first original meeting or formation was in August of 99.
Uh-huh. And this is the first time that any organization has chosen GCAM for their year-long beneficiary.
Yeah.
The first time.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. When I was there on Wednesday, it being my first official meeting of the Houston Area Bears and as a brand new member, it was actually an honor to actually be able to vote and be able to participate in that voting process and make y'all the beneficiaries.
Thank you. It was a shock.
Thank you. It was.
Here's the kicker part about it is. For the Bears, the quorum's 10% of the membership, which means we had to have 7 voting members there in order to hold the quorum. Well, if I had not have joined up on Monday and shown up on Wednesday, there would not have been a quorum.
Whoa.
We would not have voted.
Oh.
Yeah, we've been there, done that, haven't
so,
we?
So...
Well, see, that's a double whammy. Thanks for joining. Thanks for showing up.
Yes.
So, I actually had a lot of fun that night, so.
Good.
Well,
good,
I had a lot of fun way late that night, so, when we got the email.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah. So. I was just...
Yeah, Carlos was quite quick putting that out.
Well, he was.
Well, I had one, Tim Brecher, call me at 9 o'clock. Everybody knows not to call me at 9 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Timothy. Tim Brecher called me at 9 o'clock, and he's staying with Phil and Bob right now until he gets a place. And he says, yeah, they came home from the meeting, and they told me all about it. And I picked up my phone, and he says, who are you calling at this hour? And he says, Judy. He says, no, you're not. And they took his phone away from him. He said, she has to read it in the email first. Okay. Little did they know, I'd already read it. But, you know. So he was
Because I was already home. I had sent an email to Lloyd, because Lloyd had asked me to email him some stuff. And... probably about 5 minutes later, the email came across my email, and I was like, damn, he's quick.
Yeah, he was.
I hadn't been home but maybe an hour and a half when it came out.
Wow.
Yeah, Carlos sent it, and I guess Lloyd probably approved it, because...
Bam, bam, it was out.
Yeah, because everything goes to the Louie list. It has to be approved by a board member, and usually I'm the one that hits the button, and I didn't get a chance to.
Oh, right then.
Yeah, it was.
So I would have rejected it just because it was Judy.
It was pretty quick.
Could be why somebody else didn't.
We're just thrilled. We're just thrilled, and I can see that we're going to be spending a lot of time at Tony's next year.
Yep.
Yes.
And on September 26th, when we have our next show, we can announce it to anybody who might not know in the community, and I can't imagine anybody not knowing by now.
Not by by now or
and
by
I,
then.
I, yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised to see at least one or two bears out there helping y'all out.
Yeah.
I hope so. That's going to be a fun show.
Yes. Where is it?
It's going to be on EJ's patio. That's where we usually do most of our shows. We like to do them outside because the smokers partake at that point.
That would be a Sunday?
That's a Sunday, the 26th of September at, I believe, 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's always a fun time.
Joy De La O is going to be DJ, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's pretty popular around the community.
Oh.
And so we have secured her.
We got a real live
DJ. We have a real live DJ that makes money at it, only she's not charging us money for it.
Wow.
And she's also a fairly new, about 3 months ago, she joined GCAM as a member.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always nice.
Yes, very
nice. You have to throw in there when you've got important people helping you out. Of course, we always have important people helping us out. Chris, I hope you're working on a number for this, but you don't have to don the nun suit for it.
I have to see because I've got a show on the 24th.
Well, you should sober up by the 26th. My goodness. Or wear the same outfit. We'll spray you with a little lemon pledge. Nobody will know.
Yeah.
There you go. You're actually the first official invitation.
I'll have to see because I'll have to get back with
you. Well, put this on the calendar. Pencil us in. You can ink it in later.
Okay.
Okay.
You can even do the same
number. That's what I said. Same number, same outfit.
I think I'm doing two numbers at mine.
See? Then you'll have a choice.
That's right. And, you know, I can officially, as of this moment, bug you for one. I don't have to bug you for two if you are tired.
Yeah, see?
Well, ta-da. Let me see.
Okay. Thank you very much. I guess I'm leaving now. I'm not the calendar.
Okay.
But I'm we should go ahead and do the calendar.
Bye.
Yeah, we should, as a matter of fact. We kind of expect Reese's to pop in any time now.
I'm going to tell stories about them because I know where they were today.
That's right.
Especially the Empress.
No, we're not. We
told the Empress we do not trash talk her.
We do not trash talk the Empress.
No. Falcon is fair game.
See,
we didn't see Falcon tonight.
We are. After Hours is the Empress's radio program.
Whoa.
And KPFT is her radio station.
I actually enjoyed seeing the Empress tonight. She did a great number.
Oh. She is just class all the way. Always has been.
I was glad I actually stayed all the way through her number and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if not, then all you would see went into debris and...
You know, that was a surprise, too. Dennis came on, Blanche DeBrie came on, and everybody was waiting for some really sleazy thing. And he did two really nice, sweet numbers about love and, you know, for the anniversary. I mean, he's
God help us. That way, that fan position, if Blanche's dress blew up, I was...
Yeah, it was going to be sad.
Of course, it was just sad on the second debris number.
Sewage debris.
Yeah, sewage debris. That was... I was like, oh, my.
Yeah.
Especially when you got flashed.
Yeah. With a beaver at both ends.
I was just like, oh, my...
Don't use the B word.
I saw...
Dead horse.
Yeah. I saw that and I was like, oh my word.
Yeah, be careful, that's one of your brother bears.
That sewage.
All I know is I just saw that and I was like, oh my.
Yeah. Okay, well, I want to start off by making an announcement. And it's of historical value, actually. It's a part of history. We had an anniversary on Thursday, that's right. Thursday, August the 12th, marked 30 years ago, after a 3.5-year lobbying effort to repeal an ordinance used to harass females wearing fly-fronted pants. Mayor Pro Tem Johnny Goyen signed the ordinance repealing Houston's anti-cross-dressing ordinance. At that time, women were expected to have their zippers on the side or in the back. Otherwise, they were cross-dressing. This led to constant harassment and several arrests for trans and lesbian identified women, and anyone else the Vice Squad did not approve of. And this is how it happened. On August the 12th of 1980, after several delay tags that were put on to the repeal ordinance, it was again before council. At that time, our mayor was Jim McCann. He was out of town, as was Jim Westmoreland. McCann knew that it was coming up on the agenda, and he had told the mayor pro tem for that day, Johnny Goyen, that it was all right with him. City Secretary Anna Russell, who's always been a friend to us, waited until council members Homer Ford and Larry McCaskill were on the phone. When they got on the phone, she immediately handled the repeal to Johnny. You see, the deal is that under council rules, if you're present and you don't vote no, then it's an automatic yes vote. Homer and Larry were on the phone. They didn't even know what was going on. There was only one no vote, and that was council member Kristen Hartung. She was the sole and only no vote, a woman. Can you imagine?
Have you ever met her?
Yeah.
Okay.
I still hope that somebody will beat her. This is in the words of Phyllis Fry. Homer and Larry went to Johnny about 5 minutes later, and Johnny says, "Oh, I didn't know that was going through." The ordinance was repealed and has remained so to this day. So it was all this kind of strange little, you know, maneuvering that got this silly, silly, silly ordinance repealed. You see, because they only really enforced it in lesbian bars or bars that trans women went to. They didn't go to the straight cowboy bars and pick up the women that were there in their brother's or their father's jeans. No. No. They only used it specifically for lesbians and trans people.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you go to one of the straight cowboy bars, when you see the fancy stuff that some of the guys are wearing, you swear they're cross-dressing.
Yeah, no kidding.
I see more sequins on a cowboy than I have on one of the cowgirls at the VRB.
There you go. So.
And the starch, my God.
So, as silly as that is, that was the law. And the women who were arrested usually went through a lot of trial and tribulation between the arrest, getting arrested, and arriving at the jail. They you know, you can imagine. Anyway, your bit of history for today. 30 years ago, last week, you could be arrested for fly front pants if you're a woman.
Now it's just considered a fashion police arrest.
There you go. Okay, Chris, you're next.
Gee, why did I start Judy when I said fashion police?
Ooh.
Go.
Hatch Food Drive, hosted by the Gay Yellow Pages, will be on Sunday, from 2 to 6 p.m. over at Chances, 1100 West Timer. The Hatch youth are in much need of food items. Please stop by and support the LGBTQ youth with a cash donation or food items, bottled water, individual serving foods like cereals, granola bars, mac and cheese, tuna. All proceeds are going directly to Hatch.
Mm-hmm.
Stage Door, Inc., the Center of Performing Arts and Education, presents Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean.
I want to see this play really bad.
What are you doing tomorrow afternoon?
Not on Sunday. Never on Sunday.
Never on a Sunday, because I'm going down there tomorrow to see it.
Oh.
It runs through August 29th, with performances Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. This takes place down at the Pasadena Town Square Mall. Tickets are $15. You can go to StageDoorInc.com for more information on that.
And you know it's going to be good if it's Stage Door.
And they've got some interesting stuff.
They have done amazing things.
Let's see. Over at the Houston GLBT Community Center on Sunday, August 15th, Unhinged Productions rehearses. On the 16th, Monday, Center Coming Out Group meets at 7. On Tuesday the 17th, the Center Seniors and Friends Potluck convenes at Bethel Church UCC Fellowship Hall. It's 1107 Shepherd at 6:30. On the 19th, the Center HIV Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. It's on Thursday. Looking forward there. On the 19th, the Center Board of Directors meets on Thursday at 7 p.m. Saturday, August 24th, the Center Volunteer League hosts a Recruit Me Drive party at the Center from 7 to 10 p.m.
I'm sorry, I just noticed who was coming in the front door.
Who's coming in the front door?
His Majesty.
Falcon?
Yes.
They say he's supposed to be here.
Falcon Fur?
Did I stutter?
Well, there might have been another Falcon. Who knew?
Not only did he come in the front door, but here he comes in now.
Wow.
Yeah, he usually comes in through the back door.
Yeah, he usually does. I've heard that about him.
The Houston GLBT Community Center is the home base for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people and their allies in the metropolitan area and southeast Texas. For more information, go to HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org. They're located over at 3400 Montrose, Suite 207. Just ignore the condemned signs. It's not them, it's the building. Am I lying?
No, you're not.
Oh, goodness.
No, you're not.
Just the way you said it.
Hey, I'm a very big supporter with the community center.
Of course.
I was one of the... Well, I'm a very big everything. But I've been with organizations. We've been the longest running tenants they had for the longest time between Q Patrol and with Big Men's Club.
Yeah.
I was there for a long time back at the old house. Back when the old house had a swimming pool in the basement after Katrina.
The switchboard was there at that time.
Yeah. The fun stuff of that.
Yeah.
Aresis.
Yep.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
August 15th. Yay, our final stop for the weekend. Join Her Grace Grand Duchess XXVI, Jennifer LaRue, hosting the Ladies of Distinction show over at the BRB.
Well, she's got a lot of nerve.
Distinction or ladies?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, there's an email going out tonight.
So in other words, she's plenty of though.
Oh, wow. She's just bubbling over.
The title talks...
I know her. I can say that.
The title talks all about the ladies, but as Jenny wanted me to let you know, it doesn't have to be an all-girl review. So boy or girls can bring out your favorite male or female songs or those favorite country classic singers.
Ooh. I'm finding out. Ooh, Tammy. Sing it, Tammy.
And let's make this a big bang of weekend to close out the festive weekend of raising money. With all Aresis Court events, the shows are open to all. The benefits for RAIN XXVI charities are our sisters in Montrose Counseling Center with 10% going to Chaos.
Yes. Skip that one. He's here.
I'm here.
Is that a good thing or no?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. It.
I kind of said this before, but we'll do it again. The Center Seniors Friends Potluck is on Tuesday, August 17th, beginning at 6:30 p.m., so you'll get home in time for Matlock. The location, as always, the Bethel Church UCC Fellowship Hall. Once again, thanks to the good folks at Bethel and Noche de Oración, the bilingual Saturday night service, for serving as our host. You should know that Bethel UCC is one of the wonderful, open, and affirming congregations in our community. The Houston GLBT Community Center is the organizer of the Center Seniors and Friends Potluck. See you on Tuesday. If you need transportation, need someone who does, contact them at the center. Go timbrookover at gmail.com. Oh, here's his personal mobile. Call him now. It's...
whenever he reads these senior potlucks, it's either Matlock or it's Murder She Wrote.
Yeah. Well, that
Golden Girls.
Well,
no, because they're on 24/7 on the one station. Yeah. My God.
But yeah, of course,
thank God.
Prior to them having their potluck on Tuesday, they'll be over sitting with Hatch doing the Summer Film Festival.
They will.
Yes.
That's Spry.
Well, yes, Hatch and
Spry's trying to hatch.
Spry's with them.
Yeah, well, it's a different group. Just because they're old doesn't mean they all got to congregate.
Spry's sitting on Hatch?
Well,
somebody's got a hatch.
Oh, sitting with Hatch. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So they'll be over there watching Transamerica and In-N-Out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following Tuesday on the 24th, they'll be watching Amy and Jaguar, followed by La Cage Folies.
I believe it's Amy and Jaguar.
Jaguar?
It's foreign.
Hogwash?
Jaguar.
That's what our show feels like sometimes.
Ooh.
The first show will begin at noon with a short introduction and a follow-up by Murphy, who is the former director of the Houston Gay and Lesbian Film Festival.
Mm-hmm. That would be Deb Murphy.
Yeah. She says that the films were selected in part to teach Hatch youth about gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered history while exposing them to the GLBT culture. That's why they extended an invitation to Spry participants, because they can add to the commentary while educating the youth.
That's why we're there.
We used to have to go out to pick up people. We didn't have to have Grindr. We wanted to use grinders when we were cooking. We didn't have a cleaner. We had a grinder. That's what we used it for. I'm sorry. I hang around too many old people with the Big Men's Club. I can't help it.
Go to the ripcord.
No.
I tried to when they told me there were two Latinos going to be lube wrestling, but they held me back.
It was fun. I was watching it.
I bet you were.
And shush.
And you left it to come here?
Well, I could always watch you and Chris lube wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
Pardon me.
I'm sure if you're doing a fundraiser, fundraising drive right now, mm-hmm. people would pay to see that.
We are doing a fundraising drive.
We're
in the middle of a marathon membership drive.
Exactly. So I would put it out there to your KPRT listeners.
Yes. KPRT?
KPRT listeners.
KPFT.
KPFT. I'm sorry. Keep KPFT. Playing. I'm reading it too. That's the funny part is it looks like a backwards R to me.
keep playing fag tunes.
Oh, I like that. That's a good way to remember it.
Yeah.
KPFT listeners, if they were willing to pledge to see you and Chris wrestle. Lube wrestle.
Pardon me while I run to the restroom.
What? I'm going to go bomb the transmitter.
You know those commercials for Extends when they say if you have a
No, Jimmy, tell me about the commercial for Extends.
If you have an erection lasting longer than 4 hours,
why complain?
They show you a picture of Chris and I lube wrestling. That will kill your.
Did you see the
right
picture?
There.
Did you see the picture we had for Nothing On But The Radio?
Yeah.
But personally,
thank God at the time I wasn't.
Why would an erection over 4 hours be a bad thing? Call your doctor, like he's going to do something about it.
You know, somebody my age would welcome it with open.
It's like that
anything.
Joke
with
like
open
joke.
Butt cheeks.
It's like the joke where a guy goes into the pharmacist.
Yes.
And it's a woman pharmacist. And he asks, is there a male one? She says, no. It's just me and my sister. She said, well, I got a problem. What can you give me for a four-hour erection? And the lady pharmacist says, hold on a second. She went back and talked to her sister. She said, well, I'm going to give you a half share in the pharmacy and $3,000 cash.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Going on behalf of the TGRA...
Speaking of...
Yeah. Oh. Nice segue, huh? This is a call to any organization that would like to be considered as a possible benefactor for the Texas Gay Radio Association
of
Houston.
Well, we just blew that one, didn't we?
Part of the pun.
Oh, my. We have established a deadline of August 11th. Oh,
so that's
passed.
Old. You can throw that one away.
Yep. So much for that one.
Well, we were out of the running anyway.
Moving on.
August 11th for what?
For the beneficiaries.
You had to... let me see that.
they're going to decide on August the 18th.
Yeah, they're making their decision coming up on the 18th, which is Wednesday. So.
Oh, I thought that's when the begging and pleading meeting was.
No.
No.
No, I believe they've already had that meeting.
Yeah, that was on the 11th.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So. So
you've been doing too many victory laps. I'm forgetting one. Don't be a greedy bitch. You've got one group sponsoring your ass.
And we're really proud of that.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Boy Chris sends a message out saying he wants to send out a quick invite to everyone to his first show. That's going to be taking place over at George's on August 20th at 8:30 p.m. I understand that there are other events going on the same night. After his show, you can head over to the BRB with him for Jody Travis's show starting at 10 p.m. Hope to see y'all all there.
Okay. That would be the new boy of Montrose, I take it.
Yes.
Yes.
Have you met Boy Chris?
No.
Oh, he's a sweetheart.
Go ahead and put his mic on there because he's not. We can't.
I've known him since he was jailbait, so. No, not quite. But.
No, he's a sweetheart. He's one of our members. Over recess.
Oh, I should know him.
Vixen.
Oh!
Well, the light just gone bright.
Hello? Okay.
Well, there's not much left of this one here. Another Aresis event going on.
Another?
The King of King and Queen of Queens contest.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
Their final part on the 20th.
The final one is
the final preliminary for the Queen of Queens, and then followed by on the 21st, the final finale and crowning of the King of Kings and Queen of Queens.
Yes,
mm-hmm. All shows start at 11:30.
At Chances.
Yes.
Yes. With I might as well go ahead. The usual suspects for benefits.
I want to know if Nick's going to be in drag for this.
I don't know. I doubt it because it's both lesbians.
Well, the premise of the contest is we're looking for King of Kings, the butchest lesbian in Houston, and for the Queen of Queens, the most feminine lesbian in Houston. So,
Nick, there's no doubt Nicholas is lesbian. Nick, he just happens to have.
I was going
to
say Nick.
Well, speaking of chances,
yes,
and the rodeo again, TGRA Boots and Bubbles Car Wash over at Chances on August 21st from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come on out.
That's all they're wearing?
That's what it says here. Come on out and let the members of the Texas Gay Rodeo Association of Houston get all that dust and dirt off for you. At the same time, support our 2010 community charities.
What about my car?
car's easy to get the dust and dirt off, Jimmy, not you.
They didn't say anything about the cobwebs back there either.
I don't think there's a vacuum strong enough.
You're probably right. It's all that dirt on his knees that we have trouble cleaning.
Yeah,
he squats now. He learned he squats.
Yeah, when I saw Bubbles tonight at the anniversary party, I said we talked about him last week. That the fact that, you know, when the TGRA car wash, when it says Boots and Bubbles, it's nothing new about suds. It's Bubbles is going to be out there in his itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini.
And you know what?
They want to make money, okay?
But you know what? Even last year when I was the Peasant Royale and we had to do the turnabout show, I got Bubbles on stage doing that number because you know what? For just the shock value of nothing else, that is the most freakiest number you can get out on stage, and it's the most hysterical. And either people are going to laugh, or their jaws are just going to drop and go, "Oh my God!" So
there is a chance.
There's a chance he's going to be on the side of Fairview, going
that you may be seeing that routine again.
Yet one more time, soon. Huh?
Oh, he needs to do it a lot more than just once. He's wonderful. So,
really?
I love John. I love Bubbles.
Oh, I do too. I've known him
so
for years.
I love that number because it's just it's a signature number that he does.
It sure is.
Well, you run away signing your will. Signature, yeah, you're going to sign your will and run and commit suicide. But
when he retires it, he's already given it to G-Camp.
Oh, my God.
The
I can't wait to see
the bikini when he retires.
I can't wait to see that display case.
The Michelin man, you know. We're
but no, he. I know he was asked tonight to perform at an event and do the itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini.
Really?
Which event?
Oh.
The one you and Carlos?
The Bigger Loser.
Yeah, The Bigger Loser. Perfect. Okay, did you announce the date for that yet?
Friday the 24th.
Of August?
Yeah, no, September.
September. Okay.
Are we okay?
Oh, I'll be there. Oh,
okay.
Cancel Corpus. He's going to be here.
It's IPR weekend, but you know what? We'll work with the IPRs.
That's why we didn't do it on Saturday, because of...
It's good to be a monarch. Sherry and I can say, wait, Imperial Command, we have to go see Itsy Bitsy first, and then we'll finish up with IPR Weekend. No, we'll find out more about the IPR Weekend at the next
radio show. Carlos checked it out with I forget who he said.
Okay, cool. But I just love Bubbles and what he does, and, you know, somebody who can basically go up there and stripped down to a itty bitty yellow polka dot bikini and be heavy set the way he is and be proud of his body. Yep. I'm all proud. Yeah. I'm all for him. So, you know.
Yeah, he did say something about having to make sure we have someone make sure the doors are covered that the vice doesn't come in at the time, because it's on him, the itty bitty teeny weeny polka dot bikini's not very street legal.
No, it wasn't, because the last time we saw it, we were like, okay, we can see things.
Are you saying he needs a bikini wax?
Oh, he needs a Brazilian.
I think I saw one of the dancers there was Brazilian. We could have him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right, did you have more?
I got three more, and we got like 10 minutes.
Okay.
Before we need to do what we need to do. Kindred Spirits 30th anniversary celebration over at the SPJST Lodge at 1435 Beale Street on August 28th from 7:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. For more information, go to kindredspiritshouston.org.
Yes.
Let's see here. Then Sundance Cattle Company invites us all to A Touch of Class, the 30th anniversary celebration of the Sundance Cattle Company, on Saturday, August 28th at 6 p.m. over at EJ's, 2517 Ralph. And then my final one, as we speed through the last three here, the Misfits Ball on September 12th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. over at Numbers, 300 Westheimer.
I've always thought that would be a perfect place for me to go, just by the name, Misfit Ball.
It's a... I've only been to one.
Been to one what?
That's a whole...
Misfit's been to them all.
Oh, my God, it's fabulous. Yeah.
He says with his mouth full.
Do you remember the downstairs?
No, not at all.
Didn't think so.
Well,
of course you would. From what I heard of the last one.
Jimmy, don't talk with your mouth full.
He can't help it half the time.
I had a good time, and I was down.
Yeah, we know you did.
Quite a bit, because I spent much time over at the auction area.
Yeah.
Oh. And I'll probably spend even more time this year now that I've got some money.
Not yet.
Well.
Remind
the auction is wonderful, though.
A little bit.
Now, actually, I think the Misfits might be coming over here tonight. So,
the Misfits are supposed to come next month for Misfits.
Next month or next week? Or
when do we schedule them?
For next month.
No.
That'd be too late.
No, it's September.
Yeah,
this is August. Yeah. Next month is September.
Yeah, they're coming the week before the Misfits Ball to talk about the Misfits Ball.
That would be like September 1st.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Scott was saying he was coming over tonight, so I was just wondering. So, okay.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
I don't either. I don't either.
Anyway.
Renee asked me about it, and I thought, well, maybe he was going to be a guest with the Leather Folks.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I don't know. If they show up.
I mean, I just got a message from Steve, so he must be listening.
I won one of the raffle items at the Misfits Ball, and I actually gave it to my mother for Christmas.
Was it a dildo?
No, I didn't get that package. I almost did. It was a decision. There was two baskets that hadn't been anyone put a bid in on.
Yeah.
And it was either the Hollywood porn basket.
Yeah.
Or the bath, you know, the scent, the candles.
Oh.
The bathhouse with scent of candles and
that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So beads.
No. I don't need to buy my mother those. She has her own.
Okay.
I come from a twisted enough family. I could have bought her the sex pack from Hollywood.
I was serious about that with the dildo. His
mother sent him off to buy stuff for her.
Several years ago, my brothers and I were going over to Bazaar. My mom said, If you see this, if you see, yeah,
listen to this.
If you find, if you see one of the egg type vibrators, pick one up for me. I'll pay you back. And then proceed to come back to the room and say, "This is what it looks like."
And she wore hers out.
And Chris passed out on the floor.
And I got to tell you, my mother was just the opposite. Because we have, when Gingivitis was doing these shows with little gift packs, mm-hmm. I won one of the gift packs. And it came with a rather enormous sized, can you say the word?
Dildo?
Dildo, okay. It came with a rather enormous sized dildo that we named Tyrone. well, anyways, we put that as a joke. Mm-hmm. On the end table of our guest room. Well, my mother came down to visit, my mother and my sister. And my mother was in there for like 2 weeks in that guest room. And then Scott, before she even showed up, he goes, "Should we remove it?" I said, "Oh, no, I want to see what she does."
Oh.
Well, finally, after 2 weeks, I said, "Mom." She goes, "Yeah." I said, "That big black thing on your end table, you haven't said one word about it." She goes, "I don't know what it is, but I'm using it to hang my blouses on." I'm like, "Well, it comes with a suction cup. You can stick it to the wall, too."
She did so, not say that.
Yes, she did. She, my mother was very naive about that stuff.
Oh, you know, my.
And how could you look at that and not know?
She just did not know, or she just did not want to admit. Either
or she
way.
Didn't think they came in that size.
She's from Detroit. She does know they come in that size.
Oh, oh, my.
I was born and raised in Flint, Michigan. Trust me, they come
okay,
in that size.
Okay, she knows.
So, but she just, she was born, mm-hmm. she was raised in a Catholic family, in a very strict Catholic family, went to Catholic school.
Mm-hmm. She got married, didn't know a thing about sex.
You know, and, but, you know, but the thing is that she was a Miss Michigan and stuff, and she was just, but she still was so naive, because even back then,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Miss Americas and Miss Michigans and the state pageants, they're very, looking for very pure, naive
oh, yeah.
girls.
Yeah.
And she was just naive her whole life. And if it wasn't for my dad, I mean, my dad died and she never went for another man again for 25 years. So
wow.
she was just one of those old-fashioned women yeah. that, you know, you don't look at porn and you don't buy sex toys and it's about
she's
your husband.
She's just very Catholic.
Yeah, very, very Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And you are what she has sired.
Well, my dad is Jewish. So I got to convert.
yeah,
I got to convert oh and realize that, wait a second, I don't have God. To do just one day of presents. I get 8 days of presents. So, you know, I like the Jewish side a lot better. It was a lot easier for me.
A Catholic mother and a Jewish father, you know from guilt.
Oh, grandparents, yes. Both sides, I know from guilt. Trust me. That's why Scott doesn't get away with murder around me. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, let's just seg right into not guilt, but Aresis.
Aresis.
Since you are the emperor.
Oh, don't admit that. No, it just ran off my mouth way too much.
Okay, you're one of the peasants, right?
Well, maybe tomorrow I will be.
I think there's going to be a royal uprising in the next few minutes.
No, the peasants will like it. It's the board of directors that are going to be like, going, "What did you say?"
Yeah.
Oops. But, you know, and please forgive me. I'm on a lot of pain medication. I just came from the ripcord and watched the Lube wrestling, so I've had a few drinks. I'm on pain medication, so I had surgery on Wednesday, so.
Oh.
So I'm feeling good.
I bet you are.
But
what did you get surged?
Don't ask. It's a don't ask, don't tell policy
okay.
right now.
Okay.
Let's just say he's now the empress.
Pretty darn close. Yeah. It's around back, but
okay.
yeah. Pretty damn close. But that was TMI.
How come the get that kind of surgery? I don't get it.
Huh?
How come the tops always get that kind of surgery?
Good question.
Why do they need it?
Oh, I got to tell you the story.
Do we have time for that?
Oh, we're going to run long. I got to tell you the story.
But we still need a pitch for Pledge Drive.
Oh, I know.
I went to my, okay, let's face it, I went to my colonoscopy doctor.
Okay.
Colorectal doctor, and he was back there, and I'm in this awkward position. He's back there. He just pops up from behind, and he goes, are you a top or a bottom? I'm going, what are you doing back there?
And does my copay cover it?
And he goes, well, I just need to know. And I said, a top. He goes, you need a bottom more. I'm going, why? And he goes, it plows the field. I'm going, okay.
Oh, I
really didn't need to know. I don't need to know that.
And, and you don't need Scott to know that either.
Oh, thank you. You saw the video, didn't you?
Honey, I've got this strange prescription I need to get filled.
Hold on a second. I'm pulling up X-Tube now.
Okay.
But anyways, let's talk about a recess.
Yes.
Now that we've talked about, let's see, my mother, I'm Jewish, and my rear end.
Okay.
Let's talk about a recess.
But you're used to talking out of your ass anyway.
But I make a lot more sense.
Tell you what. We really need to pitch for money because we haven't done it
Do
yet.
Do it.
And then we will get to you and get to whatever else we've got going on in the show. Because everything's going to run late tonight.
Yep.
Because this is membership drive. We already have our first already. It's from Ed, yes. And he has been listening to... Ed's a straight guy who's been listening to this show for years. He really likes the show. And dropped off a pledge of support. And Paul will be coming by later with his pledge of support. Paul pledges every pledge drive to
this
show.
Yes, he does.
Cannot miss the one in years.
And if everything goes on the way it said on LSA, Scott will be calling in a pledge to the Pledge Center.
Oh, good.
Tonight there. He put out a plea on the LSA group they're talking about after hours.
Yes, I saw that.
What's LSA?
Lone Star Activist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you need to tell him how long you've actually been on the show.
What?
He said you were only here for a decade.
What? I've been the producer since 1991.
I know.
No, I've been on this show since 1988.
Jimmy, they're just trying to get your real age.
And as I found out today, it was May of 1988. All these years, I thought it was March, and I sat down with Judy tonight, and we realized because of the way we met and the time, and it was May.
May 21st. At KPFT.
Mm-hmm.
So we need for you to call in your pledge of support here to KPFT. It's 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT.
Yes.
Or you can just click on over to kpft.org and place your pledge of support there.
Now, are we answering the phones tonight?
No, I think it's still going over to the answering service.
Do we want to do that?
I don't know if we got anyone out there who can answer the phones.
Oh.
To be honest. We've got a crew of thousands, but, you know, it's hard to get those monkeys to keep trading on any of the show.
Well, that's true.
It's not like they're listening to the damn show anyway out there.
It's not right. Them on the phone that worries me. It's reading their handwriting afterwards.
Well, there's a point.
That's true. Trust me, believe me on that one. At least one of them I know.
They've got the handwriting of serial killers. By the way, we've got two MBB letters this week.
Oh my!
We're just mentioning their names here at the beginning part. We're going to come in later. We've got Deep Cover and Daryl. We got letters from both of them.
Oh, good.
With a couple of poems, we're going to do those later on in the show.
And we have a new.
And we have questions to answer. Just FYI, but
there's more. Yeah, so we're gonna do that later.
Okay. And Doug's gonna help us out with that. He's volunteered to come in and help read the poems and everything.
So that way we don't have the butcher or the board over there.
Ooh, ow!
kiss my FCC.
That's your ass.
That too.
Oh,
I'm not the one who said you butchered the English language.
He didn't say butchered the English language.
Anyway, 713-526-5738-526-JAM-KPFT. What did I say?
You said 526-JAM-KPFT.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Or you can go over to www.kpft.org and either click on the tip cup or click down in the pledge area and place your pledge support there through PayPal.
Yeah. But we find out about it faster if you dial 713-526-5738.
And that just tells management that this is a viable show. We should stay on the air. We've been on the air now. Next month will mark 23 years. September 6th will mark the 23rd anniversary of this show. 23 years. And I've been here for 22 and close to a half.
That's a lot of fairy dust.
Of those years. Yeah, sure is. It's a lot of cassette tapes, too, I'll tell you.
And CDs.
That's how we...
How many pink shirts is that?
I've only been doing the pink shirts the last several years, actually.
Since I've known you.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been here for...
I can never remember Jimmy without a pink shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll put it this way. I've been doing this show about 2.5, going on 3 years, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, I've only always been pink.
And you've always been pink during that time.
But in the early years, I would tape the show on VCR. And then...
Really?
Yes, because that was the only way I could get all 4 hours.
Or 3 hours,
depending on, you know, when.
And it takes you 4 hours to get off?
No. I would tape it at home.
Oh.
At home. You know, not here. And then convert it to cassette tape.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you weren't even live.
No.
No.
We did the show here.
The show, I was taping at home.
Oh, okay. I get you.
Yeah, the station didn't archive programming back then.
You did the Sidney Brady. You had the cassette recorder up to the speaker.
No, it wasn't quite that bad.
As it has the stereo running into the VCR.
Yeah.
And then recording on a 4-hour tape that way. And then take the VCR back to the stereo and...
It's only 2 hours, guys.
Edit on... Well, 2 hours, then 3 hours, then 4 hours, and 3 hours, and 4 hours, and 3 hours, and... By the way, remember, right now, we're still called Her Sex, Her Health,
for
Don't
the next,
Douche.
For the next hour and 20... next minute and 20 seconds.
Yes.
I was going to say, is this being archived, this part?
As her health, her sex.
As long as nobody can trace me, that's okay.
No. but then, and so for years, I did that.
Yeah.
And so I've got hundreds of cassette tapes of past shows.
For G-Cam.
I was going to say, I knew Judy was going to come out of the ghost.
Oh, yeah.
The ghost whisperer there.
No,
I was
going to
hear
that.
It.
Hundreds and hundreds of these things.
But they claim everything for G-Cam.
And, of course, you know, you had to do it in real time.
Yeah.
You know, when you converted, you had to do it in real time. When you put it on cassette, you had to do it in real time.
Right.
So it
now we've downloaded a 4-hour MP3 player, and you can take it in Audacity. And
yeah, I know. It's
snip,
it's
snip.
Just blows my mind, but it was a labor of love. But I just thought a lot of those old shows would be valuable.
So you got all 22 years?
Not all 22. I've probably got about 19 years.
Okay.
Because I wasn't there at the beginning, and I didn't know that the original producer wasn't taping it for about the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know Buddy wasn't taping it.
On a reel-to-reel.
No, well, he taped what he did.
Okay, you can fight offline.
Yeah.
Because right now you have to know. I was going to say,
we're going to get a tub of lube in here pretty quick here.
This Bitch Fest is brought to you by After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener sponsored commercial free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
So that number to keep this show archived. Either at KPFT or GCAM.
And without the lube.
Where it has been archived now for I don't know how many years. 3 or 4 or more. Archived at GCAM.
Mm-hmm.
Is 713-526-5738. That keeps this show going. It tells management that we should stay here. Because this, for an overnight show, this is pretty prime... Mm-hmm. Time.
Yes.
This is the choice spot. Saturdays at midnight to 4 a.m. And we want to stay here. We want to stay here real bad. Mm-hmm. So let's let management know that. So vote for us. 713-526-5738.
These will be your next American Idols.
Okay.
Okay, so, Arisa's.
He did not just say that, did he?
Yeah, Idol is an I-D-L-E.
Okay, how you guys doing?
Oh, great. How you doing? Oh, Falcon, how nice to see you.
Nice
glad
to see you,
could
see
you.
Yes, not that we're actually being archived on After Hours. Everything you heard the hour before.
Was a figment of your imagination.
Exactly. So, what's new? What's going on? What's going on with KPFT?
Oh, my God. We're just in the middle of membership drive, and everything's going peachy keen. And
well, wonderful.
Yeah.
Is it going good for you guys?
Yeah. Isn't it?
Oh, no. You say, no, we need more money.
Oh, well, there's always that. I mean, this is a 501c3 organization.
Exactly.
We always need more money.
Exactly.
Oh.
Ooh.
Well.
See, he was probably listening on the radio over here, so he knows exactly what I said.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So I'm in trouble
now.
He does. My husband just
walked
in.
And he looks rather topish right now.
No, he's got it on both arms, so he's versatile. Yeah, I like that Ethel Merman pose there. Thank you.
Oh, great. I see he's getting another 4-week vacation. Yeah, no, don't use any lube because, yeah, it's the squishy noises that gets us in trouble.
We have seen entirely too much lube this evening.
Oh? We just came from Daddy Lloyd and Robert's anniversary party over at the Ripcord.
Yes, you have.
Where they were raising some funds for Baring Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And they did lube wrestling on stage.
I know, and we were bemoaning the fact that...
Bemoaning?
Bemoaning, what a word.
We're so dedicated to KPFT that we would come here rather than go and see lube wrestling.
I mean, it was awesome, too.
We have
three of the lube wrestlers will be here a little later,
so we
can talk a little about that.
Oh, you really should have done an on-site. You
know. If I would have had more warning, we could have contacted management and said, we need to do a live remote.
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. They did a terrific job.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Great.
It was a lot of fun.
I was kind of nervous about it when I first heard about it, but...
Yeah.
But and then Scott told me what J-Lube is, and
oh, God, it was J-Lube?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah, I just found out what that
was. There's still a slick spot behind Mary's, allegedly, because of J-Lube wrestling.
What do you mean?
And probably a happy horse somewhere.
I never knew what J-Lube was.
You're kidding me.
My mother didn't know what that big black thing on the end table was, and I don't know what J-Lube is.
That's a story, and he's sticking to it.
He was discussing your home decorating skills.
Nothing sticks with J-Lube.
Baby,
trust.
I know what spit is. That's all I need.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One word. You did stand up a little straighter after
one
you said
word.
That.
Ow.
Oh, baby. 6 years together.
Oh. Yeah. What's the thing that you've ever said, ow?
Oh!
Once. Once.
Once. And that's because you wrote the check too high.
So, I've never written a check. Thank you.
So I believe we were talking about Eresus, were
we?
That's
right. That's right. Let's get back to Eresus.
Oh, yes.
I don't think we've talked about Eresus yet, have we?
Tried to, but it didn't work.
Well, I'm here, and let me tell you about the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star
one.
Incorporated.
We did one Eresus.
I was going to say, what all did you do? Because I kind of walked in the middle here.
You did the
Jenny LaRue, right?
Yeah, the lady.
Yeah, we were
Ladies of Distinction tomorrow night at...
Discussing why Jenny would be a lady of distinction.
Oh, we love Jenny. Jenny is a fabulous,
yes, she is.
Fabulous performer,
yes,
and
she is.
A wonderful member of our community.
That is a disclaimer from the Vice President of the Board. Thank you.
No, we love Jenny. It's her birthday weekend, so she's been celebrating, and this is part of her birthday celebration, and she's doing a fundraiser tomorrow night for the court.
And she is wonderful.
She is absolutely wonderful. And a terrific entertainer, if you have not seen her.
Oh, I have, many times.
Yes. Well, let's talk about what's coming up.
Oh, so what is coming up after Jenny's show?
After Jenny's show, on August 20th, we have Summertime, hosted by Jody Travis at the BRB, starting at 9 p.m.
What day is that?
It's a Friday night.
Okay.
And basically, it's just a fun little beach style party. Oh. Come in as you are, basically.
Oh, that's fun.
And then that night we had the Queen of Queens contest.
That's right.
We actually have positions for two contestants this time, for two people going to the finals.
Uh-huh. Now this is the one where the girls go really girly.
Yeah.
Well, it's the feminine lesbians. Yeah. Uh-huh. The lipstick lesbians. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that weekend when we did the Queen of Queens, we didn't have any contestants.
Oh.
So we actually have positions for the finales for two this coming up Friday. So if we get two, you know, two, three, four contestants.
That would be
two of them will go into the finales.
Great. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
On the 21st, we have the old gray mare ain't what she used to be. She's better, which is Bob Skinner. Personally, you know, I know he's gray. I know he's a mare.
The funny thing is, I don't think Bob's got enough hair to know what color it is.
Yeah, pretty much everything is shaved, right? Everything is shaved.
Yes.
No, I think Lillian's made him pull it out.
But that is a show at Tony's Corner Pocket. It's going to start, I believe, at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's a Saturday night on August 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Then that night, we do have our finale for King of Kings
That's
and
right.
Queen of Queens at Chances at 11:30 p.m. That's where Kuma and Eric are going to square off against each other for King of Queens. And like I said, we still
King
have...
King of Kings. King of Queens was a television show a few years ago.
Oh. Is that what I said? Okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, painkillers and alcohol does not mix. Anyways. But Kuma and Eric are squaring off against the King of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Queen of Queens, we still need two people to go into the finale for. That would be at 11:30 p.m.
I think we should enter Judy Reeves. What do you think?
I think that'd be perfect.
You're talking about girly girl.
Uh-huh. We'll turn you into one.
Don't qualify.
But you're not exactly the butcher's lesbian either. I think you're more lipstick. You're wearing earrings.
Well, yeah.
Well, so does Jimmy, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Jimmy's wearing pink.
Jimmy's wearing pink and wearing earrings.
We could put Jimmy and Falcon in the Queen of Queens contest.
I would do it.
I bet you would.
I would. Why not?
See, I was actually trying to get some of the drag queens to, like, just slide over there. Oh, you can be a girl. That's okay. But
I think that's a great idea. I think we need
you know,
to do
we
that.
Have we have a wonderful new performer with our organization.
Oh my God!
Brand new. She just moved here from Atlanta.
Juana Doomy.
Juana Doomy. Oh my goodness!
I gotta tell you.
She's a hoot and a half.
I'll bet.
You've got to meet this girl because she is an entertainer. And she's been coming out and helping with the King of Kings
oh, really?
And Queen of Queens. Yeah, I can't talk either.
You almost screwed up too. Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, can I interrupt for just a second?
You may.
If you must.
Because speaking of Chair Daddy Lloyd Powell and Robert Kahn.
Yes.
I have the grand total for the evening.
Oh, you do?
Oh, boy.
I do. And let it be known that Her Majesty's After Hours has proclaimed $1,800 total for Omega.
Yay!
Wow. Yes, the Omega House is a wonderful program,
wow.
And we are so happy that they...
That's incredible.
And that is with several exclamation points behind it.
$1,800.
$1,800.
Yeah, that's a nice haul.
That's direct from Lloyd. He texted me just a little bit
ago. Oh, that's wonderful.
Now, I do know that there was a challenge put forward over at the Ripcord tonight.
Yeah.
And I know that we had some big contributions from... National Leather Association, mm-hmm. Houston, the Colt 45s, the Houston Area Bears, and, of course, my favorite club, the Misfits.
Yes.
Misfits Houston. All contributed $100 each toward that total. So.
Very good. Very good.
Can Misfits? We get back to a recess now?
Oh, what were we talking about?
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
More
it's like
Juana.
That Lloyd guy. He just interrupts my part of the show. I swear.
I think he deserves it.
No, he did a wonderful job.
That was an awesome pair of events tonight.
Yeah.
They did both the show at Tony's and at the Ripcord tonight. But I tell you what, I've just never seen anything like the lube wrestling and the giant sneeze guard that they installed at the Ripcord.
Now I got to tell you, I didn't get to see. The
They had a lightweight, middleweight, and heavyweight.
Yeah.
I did get to see the final two. I saw the first one, the lightweights. They really went to town. They really was going after it.
Yeah,
I mean,
one of them was bleeding at the end of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there was really? Bleeding, and there was spanking going on, and we saw Boutte, and...
Damn, we should have gone to the gone to see that.
I mean, granted, the Boutte was pure white, but...
Here's the good news, though.
Kevin, get a tan.
That three of the six contestants are going to be here in a little bit.
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
So you could ask them all about it.
It was very interesting. For the lightweight, it was a misfit against misfit. For the heavyweight, it was a bear against bear. And for the middleweight, it was a bear against misfit.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we know which clubs are participating with our community. Right? We're a little partial here, folks.
Just the touch.
We know which ones will work the back room just at the rip cord. That's
okay,
all.
Now let's hear more about Arisa.
Arisa.
Thank you. Well, you would think... But no,
does anybody know
21st,
what Falcon's getting here?
Huh? Do we know what Falcon's getting? I don't know. I'm his twin brother, Swallow. anyway.
So you Swallow Fur?
Well, we do have. Hey, you can't speak now. I like that. He's just like done.
I almost threw out the board.
I was about to announce another event, but I realized it's actually got moved, didn't it?
Yes, that one got moved.
So, Mr. Calendar, go ahead and...
Mr. Calendar, bring me a dream. On the 29th, we have Blair Fulton doing a really cool show.
He usually does. He does
he's
really
very
cool
creative
stuff.
He's creative.
Yeah.
He is so creative. He's doing Malice in Wonderland.
Ooh.
At the BRB. Starts at 7 p.m. And basically, we're breaking out our costumes.
Uh-huh.
He's going to have a Red Queen and a White Queen, who are basically going to be hosting the show.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Crystal is the Red Queen, Crystal Rayleigh Love, and Anne-Marie Gill is the White Queen. But basically, it's a community show. Come out, perform. It's just some of the most outrageous numbers you can do.
And tell Crystal to leave her pretty at home.
Oh, she
you seen my pretty?
She was trying to show her pretty tonight.
Yeah, we kind of saw that tonight.
Oh, I wasn't there.
Yeah, you missed that.
Yeah, she was trying to show off her pretty tonight, and it wasn't pretty.
They made me announce my surgery on the radio, by the way. Mm-hmm. So.
Speed bump removal.
Let's go past that. Then on September the 3rd, we have our annual... And how do you say that on the radio?
Oh, crap.
There you go. The Old Crap Show. Hosted by Chris Volk.
Sushi.
And Scott Kenyon.
And me. This is a really fun show.
I'm ready to do it, baby.
we take all everyone's music that they're going to do for the evening.
Yeah.
And we put it all in the back of a toilet bowl on stage.
In the tank.
And we pull it out one by one, start the music, and hope that the entertainer is nearby.
No,
that's all we do. We start the music. We say, "Now to the stages, Dee Dee DeMarco." And what you hear from the audience is, "Oh crap!" Exactly. That's why we call it the OS show.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's exactly what you hear coming screaming from either the patio because they're smoking or from the audience is those two words.
Yep,
nobody,
I get it.
Nobody knows what the lineup is in advance. We don't even know because we pull it as we go.
No, that's funny.
And then we use the toilet bowl as the tip bowl.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, and then coming up on September 5th, we have the Power of Three.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It is Jody Travis, Jack Naderhoff, and Stacey McBride O'Neill.
Yeah.
And what they're basically doing is a show where it's basically a tribute to the College of Monarchs and the Reigning Monarchs, mm-hmm. Sherry and I. And what they're basically doing is allowing... It's not that often you get to see... the jewels. I don't mean the family jewels.
It's kind of what we call a regalia show.
It's a regalia show.
So. It's all formal.
Okay.
So if you've never seen us in all of our formal wear, it's very rare that we are out in public in our formal wear.
Yeah.
It only happens maybe two or three times a year. So this is an opportunity. This will be on September 5th at 7 p.m. at the BRB.
Okay.
And a lot of the monarchs, a lot of the college will be coming out in our full regalia, our crowns,
oh,
our jewels.
Very nice.
In our formal wear. And mm-hmm. you get to see exactly what the court really does.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that right now I'm wearing a white beater shirt and a beautiful pair of jeans.
Yeah.
And this is normal for me as an everyday wear. You actually get to see me in my formal, and,
okay.
and as the emperor,
yeah,
as the true emperor of, you know, the formal emperor of Aresis.
And that's to see you just at a regular show rather than going to a formal event,
right?
When you, yeah.
it's a regular show, yeah. and but like I said, it's a chance for the community to really come out and understand what we're doing as a court. If the community doesn't know what a rhesus is.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that wouldn't go to a formal
some
court
of our
event.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is just a regular show where we get to do formal and appear. And it gives the community a chance to come out and talk to
yeah.
us. Hopefully we'll get some people from some of the other courts. And for those of you out there who don't know what we are and what we do, we play court. We play royalty on the emperor.
Yeah.
We have an empress. We have a line of succession. You know, and what we do is we play this as a theme, as a game, in our fundraising endeavors.
Right.
Now, there are almost 70 other courts out there in North America between Canada, United States, and Mexico. And
now we know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now you know. And I think the exact number is 68
or 69.
Yeah,
it needs to be 69. Come on.
Well, we got two more coming in. I believe we got Washington D.C. and we got I think one in South Carolina coming in soon.
Oh, good.
But that's in the works. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been announced yet officially. But
well, I think
what
you
we
just
do,
did.
Well, officially it hasn't been announced. But what we do is we play court, we play royalty. A lot of the courts throughout North America are 501c3s.
Mm-hmm.
They all have, and they all raise money for their local charities.
Right.
They don't take it out of the city. You know, everything that we raise here in the Houston-Galveston area stays
right here.
That's so right. It's very important to us that we support our own beneficiaries. And like we said, our beneficiaries this year is a Sisters, which is a lesbian helping lesbian
mm-hmm.
program, which is very important. And Montrose Counseling Center, and we always give 10% of our regular shows to the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe in a Dream Scholarship
right.
Fund.
Okay.
And that's so we can send people within the GLBT community to school.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that all being said, this
well,
show...
Well, you know, I think that there's actually a little news on the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Scholarship Fund that we might want to put out there
yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because this is actually kind of a change to a program that we started last year. And the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Scholarship Fund was started by, of course, Kimberly Ann O'Neill.
Right.
As her proclamation when she stepped down as Empress 24. And it is a scholarship for GLBT students attending higher education. And it's very specifically not necessarily college, any particular type of college. It's higher education.
Oh.
So it also covers other types of higher education, such as trade schools
sure.
or professional schools.
Because not everybody really is college material.
Exactly.
But
what we realized is that all these schools work on different calendars and different types of schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually just made a change to the program here about a month ago, where originally the way it was written up, and if you looked it up previously, it might have said that we're going to award the scholarship at this time of year, and this is your
in
deadline,
January.
And this needs to happen mm-hmm. at this date and time. And what we realized is that a lot of these schools start on different schedules throughout the year, so we actually made a change to it so that we opened it up throughout the year, and we can award a scholarship at any time. So if you're going to a particular school that their school year starts in the summertime, for instance,
mm-hmm.
that we can make funds available to a qualified applicant who
needed money in the springtime rather than the fall or whenever we might have had the schedule previously.
Great.
So it's a little complicated, but what we're trying to do is make this very, very useful to the GLPT students that are interested in the program.
Yeah.
And it really is a terrific program, and it's something that we're really excited about being able to put forward in the community.
I think that is an excellent idea because there's a lot of people who do better in a different type of school than college.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because there are people who get college degrees and they're no better off than they were when they had their high school diploma.
Right.
You know, because the degree doesn't get them that a great job. But a trade school or something along those lines that's specifically for a certain job will get them to that.
Well, point. And the main thing is that we want to be flexible enough to help
everybody,
the people in need in the GLBT community.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a really exciting change to the program, and we encourage anyone who's interested to go to our website, which is www.eresis. You want to spell it?
It's E as in empire, R as in royal, S as in sovereign, I as in imperial, C as in court, S as in single, and S as in star.
www.eresis.org.
Yes.
And there's more information about the scholarship program on our website.
Great.
And you know where I learned that from? How to spell it. It's when Marsha Meek was on here.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And she was on here. She was going, E as in elephant, R as in right, S as in... I'm going, and Chris Erickson goes, no, how about E as in empire, R as in... And I lost it. I was listening that night. I'm like on the floor laughing hysterically. I'm like...
It's a little bit of a complicated name, but actually there are courts out there with worse names. So.
She can't, people. He's talking about complicated names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, couple of more shows.
A couple more shows,
and
we're going to finish up here. On September 9th, we are going to do a Reese's night over at the Muffin Man.
Ooh,
yes.
Where are you now?
Yes. So we're going to start at 5:30 that night.
I have not been there yet.
If you haven't been there,
you need to go.
The Muffin Man is a wonderful little restaurant over at 20... Let me see here. I got the address somewhere. 2310 Converse, which is like a block north of TC's Bar.
Yeah.
So, and what he's doing is on September the 9th, 5:30 p.m., and throughout the night, we're going to kind of play host, and we're going to greet you at the door. 25% of the proceeds that night will go to Arisa's charities.
Mm-hmm.
So, come on out that night. It's going to start at 5:30 p.m., 2310 Converse at the Muffin Man Restaurant. And we had some samples that we took to a show recently. It was great food. The bartenders wolfed it down at Tony's. They loved it. So, but it was very good food.
Tony's wolfed down a lot of things.
I wouldn't mind wolfing down a couple of them.
That's the disclaimer. That was Jimmy Carper that said that. That was not Falcon, by the way.
Okay, but we're not going to deny. They have some pretty adorable bartenders over at Tony's.
Like I said, I wouldn't mind wolfing down a couple of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Josh is a hottie.
Yeah.
Well, both Josh are hotties because I love Anne-Marie, too.
They're both sweethearts.
September the 10th is our postal auction show.
Oh, that's a fun one.
That's a fun one. That is the Board of Directors show. It's going to be at 9 p.m. at George. That is where we go out as members to all of our friends and family around the world, and we ask them to send in little gift baskets to us.
Oh, yes.
We don't know what
to send us. A sealed box.
Yes.
A sealed box.
With something interesting in it.
And all we say is where it's from. You know,
auction it off.
And we auction it off. It's wonderful. So it's on September 10th at George at 9 p.m.
No. Is it September 10th?
September 10th. I'm sorry. September 10th, 9 p.m. at George, and that's the postal auction show. That's I just want to put this out there. We do have IPR weekend coming up on September 24th through the 26th. Details will be coming soon. And the Fire and Ice Ball is now scheduled for November 6th.
Okay.
And we'll get more information on that.
Good, good, good. I'm glad that's been rescheduled.
Well, actually, it's going to be at the Fire and Ice Show.
Oh.
We're not going to do a ball. We're not going to do a big thing. We're scaling it back to a show.
Okay. So. I want to thank you for being here. We're running a little bit late. As we normally do.
And I try to keep us on schedule.
Yeah.
But no, with Jimmy in there, I can't do it.
You can't do it.
Clearly you're failing, Chris.
Do we have to mention Pledge Drive at the bottom of the hour still?
Yes, we do. Mention Pledge Drive every chance we get.
I think we do it every 10 minutes.
How about we kill... Let's mention Kid Drive. Kick Falcon out and we'll mention Pledge Drive.
And why don't you mention Pledge Drive as I get the other group in here?
All right. Let me kill these mics here. All right, and like Jimmy said, we are in the middle of Pledge Drive, so we are looking for your pledges of support because we want management to know that we are a viable show here in our time slot. We do want to keep the airwaves going with our music, our talk, our letters from the MBBs.
And that number that you call is?
713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT.
The website is?
www.kpft.org, where you can place your pledge of support safely and securely, or you can click on the tip cup during our show and place a pledge in there.
All right. That's the Pledge Drive. Please call. We need you to tell everybody that After Hours needs to stay right here. And that's what you're doing. You're telling everybody you want to keep listening to all of our controversial little slivets and bits at this time slot. So please pledge. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. 713-JAM-KPFT. Or www.kpft.org.
All right. We're going to go ahead and put a little music in here for a little bit. And while we get our next segment lined up.
Good evening.
You know, Wes,
what's up, Jimmy?
Evening, it's morning.
I have been here now.
It's not morning until I go to sleep and wake up.
And
shut up, Buzz.
Shut my mouth right now because there are too many hot visuals in the studio.
Yeah, I know. If I would have known we were going to have all these hot men, I would have said, okay, strip contest, but, you know.
Well,
we've done that before.
Oh, don't challenge us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are the misfits. They are one of the most debauched groups in the Houston Council of Clubs here.
well, you know.
And one of the most fun.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Well, I love my misfits.
I can do this since I am a host of the show. Strip contest.
Strip contest.
Okay, done.
Robert, why don't you do the opening? I got a couple of quick shout-outs to do.
Oh, yeah.
Is this Nude Radio?
Good evening. Welcome to After Hours Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert, along with my co-host, Master Buzz Lawson.
Hi there. Let me give a quick shout-out to Drina in Maple Valley, Washington, chewing her hubba bubble bubble gum, and Matthew in Bath, Ohio. Welcome to both of you, new long-distance listeners.
Oh, yes, and yes, Jimmy's saying that you think we're kidding about Naked Radio. We've had Nude Radio before. The Lone Starness group is here. The only way you could get in the sound booth is if you were naked. We've done quite a few different things. So, yeah, doing nude interviews is kind of strange when you've got somebody's nuts hanging down to their ankles. So. It's kind of hard to hold a conversation that way.
Well, all I'm seeing is a cock ring over here, so.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Vulcan, too. That's a nice one. I like those. Vulcans are good ones.
If he's going to have to come over here and model that for me.
It's engraved.
Don't model it anywhere near Jimmy or his teeth are going to fall out.
Well, he can.
They'll get stuck in the ring.
Does the engraving say, if you can read this, you're not close enough?
No, it says, if you can read this, swallow.
He can come model it over here next to me.
I forgot my glasses.
Here, try mine. No, would you hear your glasses are probably stronger than mine. You're more blind than I am.
Where are you?
Yeah, exactly. So we're here tonight in the studio with the Misfits. We have Scott.
Hey,
you're a former president of Misfits, and you were also our former chairperson of the Houston Council of Clubs for, what, 7 years?
Six.
Chair Dude.
Years. The
artist formerly known as Chair Dude.
And he's also currently the treasurer of the Misfits.
Yes.
And yeah, they gave him the check, like, can you believe it?
Fools. That is why they are the Misfits. Pretty soon they will be called Pierce Elevated.
Wow.
Because that's where they'll all be living. Because Scott's going to go buy some diamonds. Which is in the house?
Hi.
Hi. What is this? This is like Fifth Element. I feel like Chris, what's his name? It's Chris Taylor, Tucker, whatever his name is.
Tucker.
Yeah. Ruby Rod, yeah.
Chris Tucker.
Yeah, Chris Tucker, yeah. Mm. Renee is here.
Hello, everybody.
Everybody knows Renee, loves Renee, furry little bear. This one?
Hooli-hoo!
We'll just call him Vulcan, because that's the cock ring he's wearing.
That's Kevin. He's our historian.
He's the historian, Kevin.
Woohoo! And he's also the one getting naked.
No, he's a historian.
Here.
He doesn't mean he's old.
It's called
Oil of Olay and a Really Good Plastic Surgeon, because he's really like 60. He only looks like he's like 25.
Wow. Okay. The historian, is that why he's taking pictures?
Yeah. Exactly. He's also known as the hysterian, by the way, as well.
Oh, that I believe.
Yeah, that I do believe, yeah. And you are?
I'm Andy, the newest one.
Andy's the new one. He's the newbie. He's a probie. Are you a probie or are you actually a full member now?
Full member.
I'm a full member.
Oh, congratulations.
Okay.
Congratulations to you.
Who wrestles tonight?
Well, Renee is in the singlet, so we're going to have him wrestle you.
No.
Yeah, already wrestled.
Oh, Renee.
Lube wrestling at the ripcord tonight.
At the ripcord tonight. Renee wrestled.
I wrestled and Andy wrestled also.
Yeah.
And Kevin wrestled.
And Kevin wrestled.
Right. And you already got
Kevin,
all the J-Lube
Kevin wrestled. I did not. I just found some in my belly button.
Yeah, I was going to say, Renee just said he had some lube still stuck in his belly button. But as hairy as you are, I'm surprised you're still not covered in the stuff. So.
Well.
If it's just
in
the belly.
Very moisturized.
I bet you do. Yeah.
Salt water's good for that, actually.
Yeah.
What? No, was it J-Lube?
We'll take
it regular lube.
Let's take it to Galveston after we get off the radio.
Yeah, salt water. You need to take a salt water bath if you ever want to get that stuff off you.
Yeah, I remember when we did
the only way to get
lube wrestling in the back patio, the back 40 of Mary's.
That was, I think it was one of the Nomad runs years ago.
Yeah, we dumped the pool.
And they had the big baby pool set up with like 100 gallons
tons of J-Lube in it.
Every time it rained, the back 40 was slippery.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you like for 2 or 3 weeks, you would see birds land and just like ice skate across the grass.
Coming in for a landing.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was pretty funny.
I forgot all about that.
So we are here to talk to the Misfits about their Misfits Ball, their annual Misfits Ball. It's coming up in September.
You don't
want to miss the Misfits Ball. If you've never been to one, you are deprived, and you need to go.
To be depraved.
Yeah.
If you've been to
it,
you're
depraved. And if you have been, you're depraved, so don't deprive yourself of the depravity.
Wow.
It's true.
Okay, I think we said enough.
I even said that sober. Well,
okay, can we maybe cover some of the actual details?
Let's start with Misfits Ball. When is the Misfits Ball?
Misfits Ball is scheduled for Sunday, September the 12th. It starts at 5 o'clock. It is going to be at a club called Numbers on Westheimer.
300 Westheimer.
300 Westheimer.
And what do you
It's at Westheimer and Mason, if you want to Google it.
Right around the corner from KPFT.
Mm-hmm. Right around the corner from here.
Block away from my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Have we covered everything?
Do that many people know?
But there's also a Hollywood. Yeah, there's also a Hollywood food store right next door too. Ooh, it's like right down the street from Sacred Heart, so you can get a tattoo and then go to the party. Yeah,
that's hot.
Yeah.
You talk about the beneficiaries this year.
Sure. Yes, who is the beneficiary for the
beneficiary?
Wait. We said it was the 14th of September.
It's 12th.
Sunday.
12th ball. 12th of September.
12th of September starts at what time?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock at Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes until whenever we get kicked out.
And 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
And who's the beneficiary this year?
Beneficiaries this year is Baring Omega's Adult Care Center and Montrose Counseling Center's anti-violence program, yeah. So the Adult Care Center, what they do is they have basically set up where people with HIV can come and spend the day. They have activities and they get fed during the day so that their caregivers can actually go to work and stuff like that. And then the Anti-Violence Project of Montrose Counseling Center helps people who are experiencing domestic violence. And so they get them into shelters. They provide them with cell phones so that they can call in emergencies. They give them gift cards to Kroger and stuff like that so they can get themselves back on their feet.
Yes.
And we will actually be collecting old cell phones at the ball so that we can donate those over to Montrose Counseling Center so they can give them to their clients.
Excellent. So if you do have an old cell phone, you just upgraded to a 4G piece of crap, then take your old phone.
Keep your old phone and donate the 4G.
Don't donate the 4G. We want phones that can actually work. Okay?
Right.
Sorry. Yeah, and Wolf, no offense, sorry. Because I know where you work. But, yeah, when they get the 4G fixed, then buy one. Please wait another month for the fix. But so, yeah, if you've got an old cell phone, you've upgraded, or you've just got a phone laying around the house, I mean, even if it's a Cricket phone, something, just get it because it's something that they can use.
Right, the phones are primarily so that the clients can call 911 on them in case they're in danger.
Right. And I know some people have used this service, and it is incredible. And they do a lot of work, and they do really help. So,
well, they're both of these programs that we're raising money for this year are really unique programs that serve very specific parts of our of the gay and lesbian community. And they're both things that we felt very strongly about this year when the organizations came out and presented us. And we really felt they were a wonderful fit for our organization and things that the community really needs to get behind, because both of them are programs that have a great deal of needs.
Yes, definitely. One thing you mentioned that you just said, that they approached you and submitted their proposal. How does somebody go about doing that for next year?
Well, you know, any organization that is a 501c3 that would like to be considered could certainly contact us. Now, we actually go through a process each year when we select our beneficiaries, we do ask the organizations to come out, introduce themselves, learn more about it. We definitely want to make an informed decision. The Misfits decided 12 years ago that we were going to put our fundraising efforts into one large effort a year.
So which is the Misfits,
Ball. And this will be our 12th year to do it. It's grown exponentially through the years, and it's become a party that I think we're all very proud of. But it's very important to us that we make the right decision. So we ask the organizations that we want to know more about to come out and talk to us and let us know what they're doing. And we also want to make sure that the funds we're able to raise are going to have an impact on the organization.
Yeah.
So we want to know what their needs are, what their programs are about, and we try to select things that are, you know, important to us but important to the community.
Okay. And one other thing we need to mention, what is the cost and or suggested donation at the door?
Suggested donation at the door is $15.
And I also want to mention that all the money that is raised at the event goes to the beneficiaries. Our club covers the entire cost of the event so that there's no deduction for the cost of the event.
Right.
100% of the door, 100% of everything that's raised at the event actually goes to the beneficiaries.
So keep that in mind and make sure that you're supporting these people, because the Misfits have done a lot of incredible work. Always do. So... you have something to say? The Hysterian? Oh, Scott just turned over his headphones to the Hysterian.
Oh, I just
Hysterian,
gave him my headphones so he could hear what's going on.
yeah. Okay, wow. So, now, one other thing that I think is very cool, the Misfits every year come up with a theme for the Misfits Ball. I think last year was lube, wasn't it?
Yes.
This year's theme is?
Steel.
Not as in robbing people, as in, as in the metal.
That's right. Double E, not EA.
Right. The stuff, think the stuff surgical, that your chalk rings are made out
yeah,
of.
Yeah, surgical steel. Think about the body jewelry.
Okay? Right, exactly.
Back to the cock ring.
Yeah.
Hey? Yeah. It all really...
but that also, you know, yeah.
Cock rings, handcuffs, that sort of steel.
Yeah, and so the first person that shows up wearing an aluminum foil thong wins.
I see you've been thinking about your outfit already.
Nah. Sorry, I don't do aluminum foil. It chafes. Okay. I'll get saran wrap and just paint it silver. I mean, damn.
Long way around.
Yeah, but it's more fun that way. Body paint.
It doesn't breathe, though.
Yeah, no. You're right, it doesn't. But, you know, I'm just
spoken
I need
from experience, I'm
afraid that it is, actually. Yes.
Well, I don't get the crinkly sound.
No, but you get lots of sweat.
Like, sweat's a bad thing?
Well, then use bubble wrap, because if at least you get the air pockets, right?
If the sweat has nowhere to go, it sweat's a bad thing.
Oh, bad.
A couple of other things about the Misfits Ball. We, you know, in addition to... the donations at the door, we've got a silent auction that is...
and the Misfits Ball is known for their silent auction. They get some of the most incredible items for their silent auction. So make sure to bring your debit card and bring extra cash, because you will want what they have.
Yeah, we will have MasterCard Visa available at the ball. So if you...
yeah.
So you'd be
and it ticks me off, because I've bid on several things and got outbid at the last minute, and that just ticked
me off.
Gotta
stay on your toes. Yeah.
No joke. Next time I'm just going to take the damn... I'm going to write my bid down. I'm going to steal the sheets. Nobody else going to write.
We got more sheets.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know. We also have a pretty fabulous DJ coming to this year.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with... his name is DJ Mark D.
Yeah.
Used to be at Rich's.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now he's got a share in the Bayou City bar. And he's going to be...
so he's going to be our guest DJ.
He will be our
DJ.
Star DJ. That,
excellent.
That's
right.
He's been the last couple of years.
He's been our DJ for the last...
well,
two or three.
No, actually,
no.
It's probably three or four now.
I want to say
three
it's
or four.
Three.
He's I'll say three.
Anyway, he's been a terrific supporter of ours over the last few years, and we actually...
and he spins some incredible music. He really knows how to mix.
And he's just cute as a bug.
Yeah.
I gotta go there. Sorry.
Yeah.
He sure
he
is.
He's a cutie. Yeah.
We should leave that part there though.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Why?
Because they're stories.
I don't want to hear stories. I just want to see the email me the pictures. I don't want to see the
Okay, got it.
I'll tell you after we're here to talk to him.
Duly noted.
Duly noted. All right, Renee, I'm holding you to that.
Yeah, we can tell stories about people who aren't here.
Right. Of course we can.
Yes, we can.
That's what the whole exercise is for here.
Not on the air.
One other thing that I wanted to talk about with the Misfits ball is that this event has actually gained some international recognition.
Notoriety.
Last year, we became part of what is called a Claw Nation Tour. And that's basically, it's a national fundraising initiative that works with communities, works with different organizations, different title holders to sort of coordinate and to keep track of how much fundraising is actually happening nationwide.
Excellent.
So we were honored with the Powerhouse Award this last year.
Excellent.
And that is given to the party or event that is part of Claw Nation that raises the most money for charity. So we're pretty
that says a lot.
That.
Pretty good for our first year doing it.
Thank you. I think so. But I mean, knowing the Misfits, it's nothing new for you guys. So,
well, another award that we got last year that we're actually that we're very proud of. It's not related to the Misfits ball specifically, but we did get the President's Award from National Leather Association International.
Mm-hmm. I know, I'm a member.
So, it was a pretty cool year for us to get both of those awards in one year. So
yes,
we're very proud of that.
So I want to recap and let you guys get back to your J-Lube wrestling.
Oh, no, I've got to go wash it all off now.
Why? You're already slick. Let's go out and have some fun. Damn, use it.
That's what I'm saying. Let's use it.
Use it. The Misfits Ball is September 12th, starting at 5 o'clock at Numbers, which is on Westheimer and Mason. And it is going to be $15 at the door, a suggested donation. Bring old cell phones for donation. There's going to be a fantastic silent auction. Are y'all going to be doing the jail this year? Or are you not telling us?
We're not doing the jail this year, but we do have some other activities.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
No, I love the jail.
I go to jail every year.
And I love it. And he spends 2 hours in jail, and I love it because I don't have to deal with
it. You know, it actually lives in my garage. If you want to come over and put it together, you can have an afternoon in the driveway with the jail. That's fine.
No, it's just fun to throw him in jail.
I'm not going to jail this year. I'm hiding.
So, they're not going to have the jail cell set up, but they're going to have other cool fundraising things going on during the event. So
I can assure you that we're going to have a lot of fun events for members of the audience and our special guests.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Oh, can I mention one other thing that's also happening that weekend?
No. Yeah, go ahead.
this will be the third year that we have the Mr. Leather Houston contest.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be on Friday and Saturday of that same weekend. So it's kind of packaging it as a leather weekend, and if there is anyone out there who is interested in running, they should go in and see Master Bob at Blackhawk Leather to get an application. It's a
and this is a feeder contest.
This is a feeder contest to Mr. Texas Leather, and
which goes to IML.
Which goes to IML, correct.
So this is an actual Houston feeder leather title. It's a national leather title that goes to Mr. Texas and then to IML if you win Mr. Texas.
Correct.
So again, if you're interested in becoming a contestant, go to Blackhawk Leather. Talk to Daddy Bob. He's got the applications. He can explain everything to you. And the Misfits are part of this, and that's very cool, too. I love it.
It's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Now, the contest itself is going to be held where? At the Rip?
The contest will be at the Rip Court, yeah. There'll be a sort of meet the meat deal on Friday.
I like that.
And Saturday will be the contest.
Okay.
So
you get a meet the meat on Friday. Saturday will be the contest, and the Misfits Bowl will be on Sunday to wrap it up. Excellent. Thank you, Misfits, for being here. I'm going to let you all go because I know you all are tired.
Thanks for having us.
And Lou.
Thank you, Robert.
We're going to cut to some music, do some station ID, do some fundraising for KPFT, and we'll be
back. And go have a cigarette.
Yeah, and we'll be back to talk about and destroy Prop 8.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
With Bohemian Rhapsody. Not a bad version. I'll put it up there with the Muppets.
I wouldn't probably go that high.
This is After Hours, and we're going to do a little pitching here. This is our pledge drive. It's our second weekend. This is it. This summer sizzle ends tomorrow, or today actually. Could use the radio speak. It's Sunday, and we need your pledge drive. I haven't heard. We've got it sent over to the call center right now, so we only hear one ring, and haven't even heard that one ring. And so we need you to call in 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT, or go over to kpft.org and pledge there. Why do we do this? I got two letters here as part of the reason why we do this. Two letters from our MBBs out there who don't have any options what they can listen to or what they can get on the radio in their cells. And these guys choose to listen to us and take time out of their day to write us letters, write us poems, and give us a slice of life that none of us either have experienced or want to experience or anything like that. And these are people who, some are gay going in, some were questioning going in, some of them had homosexuality thrust upon them. And they like hearing a voice out there that can speak to them and can talk to them and help them understand. And we've got that serious side here that we do that when we need to. We also turn around and have fun when we need to. I'll give you a teaser about the fun part here. In the roundtable tonight, we're going to be discussing the size of a duck's dick. Yes.
You heard that right.
That's funny.
Because someone did a study on it.
Yes. Government funded, by the way.
And
oh my God.
For those of you out there who have not heard this story or that, let me tell you this, guys. Most of you out there are going to start being jealous of a duck. Because you will be surprised. Hey, for those of you here in the studio.
Ducks are actually hung like elephants, huh?
Yeah.
I have actually never been curious to know the size of a duck's dick.
Well, then your curiosity won't be fulfilled tonight.
Well, we already know that a rooster, because the nickname for a rooster, is...
Yeah.
But
you'll find out all this information on
the roundtable here on KPF on After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener sponsored commercial free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Like that segue?
That was fast.
No.
You say that in your sleep, don't you?
You silver tongue devil, you.
He does it in one breath.
And when his alarm clock rings, he doesn't hit the snooze buzzer. He just starts reciting that.
God bless the person who created this snooze button.
You're going to have a kid in there. I hit that sucker like two or three times.
No, sorry. I actually curse that person because I do hit it two or three times. You know how many times I rush my ass to work?
Only two or three times? Let's see. When mine goes off, it's every 9 minutes.
I think I'm being smart. I'll set my alarm clock for 15 minutes prior to when I need to get up because I know I'm going to hit the snooze alarm. But then I already know that I set it 15 minutes early so I can hit the snooze alarm. So I just keep hitting it.
Mm-hmm. I set it like an hour early so I can smack it, seven, eight times.
I do. I set mine... And I hit it two or three times, and then after the third time, it's time to get up and get ready for it because I have an hour to get ready and head out.
Well, actually, now when my alarm clock goes off, I've got four dogs that jump on my face. So I don't have the luxury of a snooze alarm anymore because it's like that little ringer goes off on my alarm clock, and it's like, ooh, it's time to go outside and get breakfast. And so, yeah, I don't get to sleep in anymore.
Yeah.
Even on the weekends, I don't even turn on my alarm. 6:30 every morning, the dogs are jumping on my face.
My little dog just gives me a tongue bath.
No, yeah, my little dog, a 60-pound bulldog, yeah. Yeah, she's real gentle with that. I mean, she'll lick your face off.
But we need for people to call in at 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Hey, I'll throw out this type of...
And give us money.
Yeah.
Yes, pledge drive. Give us money, keep us on the air, and keep radio free.
Well, we've got the Queer is a $3 Bill pledge.
Woohoo!
Pledge $3 a month. That's $36 over the year.
That's our basic membership where you can be a voting member.
There's the cocktail for KPFT. Give up one drink a month for us. That's $5 a month.
You're liberal, thank you, and so will we.
And that's what...
that's our second level.
At $60. Still got, you know, I keep wanting to do, you know, we'll do tease like I do with Democracy Now, and they have... I'm still trying to find out what all you get for $2,000 for Democracy Now. You get to watch the show, and then she hosts you for lunch or dinner. I want to find out the definition of host. Yeah. Pledge at the $500 level, and Jimmy or I will take you out to Barnaby's. And come in here and watch the show. We promise a good one.
That's it. We'll put you on the air and grill you.
We'll bring you in for nude radio.
Grill?
Yeah, that's it. We'll bring you in for the next nude radio. That's it.
Can I wear my sunglasses?
No.
No.
But the thing is, one of the things I always talk about with it when we do the Play Drive, you know, other shows, they put on a best of. You know, you turn over to Channel 8, and if you don't catch them on the 1 week they're not in Pledge Drive, they always have the best of. You know, let's bring out all the good stuff and have you pay for that, and then you'll get the rest of the stuff. Good or bad, we give you the same show week in, week out. Same level. We don't extra rehearse. We don't bring in the big name stars. But we give you all we can, and we're asking for you to give a little back. If not for us, for our MBBs, for the hatchlings that can hear this message, because you know, radio can break through closet doors. And the beauty of radio is if you've got a dollar store around you and you've got $2 in your pocket, you've got radio.
Mm-hmm.
They sell a little FM radio for $1 and a package of batteries for $1, and you're set. You've got KPFT.
Yep. And you got After Hours.
And you don't have to worry about your parents checking the search engine on the search history on your computer and finding out where you've been that you're questioning. You have an opportunity to hear the community unvarnished and the real community. We're not sanitized for your protection, Will and Grace.
Yeah, this is
we don't sugarcoat it.
This isn't Will and Grace. This isn't Logo. This is real life.
Yes, because actually, see, unlike Logo, we actually have a lot of queer people on our programming.
Right.
Ooh. I was going to say, this is more like Lifetime.
True.
I'm sorry, but I don't see Valerie Bertinelli anywhere.
More like Lifetime. No, but I think Bea Arthur keeps walking through every once in a while.
You know.
Which is kind of scary, because that'd be just her ghost. I think you need to see somebody. You need to, like, get Patricia Arquette. You need a medium on that one.
I think I see more gay characters there on ABC Family, and that's not including what 700 Club drags out for their anti-gay shit programming. Then you find
I see more gay characters on Channel 13 News than I do on Will and Grace.
But, you know, and that's the thing of what we do. We want to give you that slice. And that's why we bring in people who can give you that point. And we're trying to get more of the community in here. Jimmy and I can't tell you what it's like growing up in the 50s as a black lesbian. We can tell you stories of what we've heard, but we can't tell you what it's like. And we want those voices. We want the lesbian voice. We want the other people of color, the Hispanic community. We want to have African Americans saying, we want to have the transgenders back. And we want to cover and bring in and make this community radio Q-munity radio. Put the Q in it and show what we can do and what we are. That we're not the kind of people on the pictograms they put on the lovely little sign the four protesters have outside on our pride parade. We're not.
But also keep in mind, get out here, get on the air, tell your story. You're helping somebody. You're helping some kid who's confused, doesn't know where to turn, doesn't know what. They've got a zillion questions that you could answer just by telling your story.
No matter what and your story them know, is, and it's letting similar them know, to someone's.
Yeah, and letting them know they're not alone in the world. We are here.
And there's actually, I'm gonna give a little pitch where I forget the exact email, the exact web address for it. But to tell your story, in that there is a website that started up recently called I'm From Driftwood. And I think it's imfromdriftwood.com. If you're on Facebook, check out the After Hours page, and we're friends of their page, and it is a group that's collecting GLBT stories from people, and you can post your story from your town of what it's like being gay there. Hmm. And they're starting to do stories where they're also going around now and taking video histories.
Well, you know, the town that I'm from, if you were to walk hand in hand down the street, you'd still end up dead before the end of the block.
Well, that's how it is in most places.
Still here in,
to this day.
So, that's what we do here. That's why we come down here. You know, that we're here to try and help people get through life a little easier and understand where they're coming from. Not this past Pride Parade, the Pride Parade before. We had a couple of young men who came up and told us that while we were getting out there getting ready for the parade, said that, you know, we were in a dark place. We were in a really bad place, and we heard about your show and we listened to it and made us feel better. And next weekend when I went over to my parents' house, because my mom knows I do the radio show and knows it's volunteer, and she's like, why do you do that? Why do you go out there? And I told her the story about those two. And I said, that's my paycheck. That was my paycheck for what we do. And because the voices you hear on the show, we're not paid.
Nope.
Every dollar you put into the show keeps the lights on, keeps the air conditioner running.
Yeah. Oh, and thank God for that.
Yeah, we are all volunteers, people. Nobody here gets paid. Wes doesn't get paid. Chris doesn't get paid. I don't get paid. Buzz doesn't get paid. Jimmy didn't get paid. We volunteer our time to come in here and talk to you, share our stories, share the knowledge that we have acquired.
At zero dark 30 in the morning.
At zero dark 30 in the morning. Yeah. But it's also, after hours, you can download it off kpft.org.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you're listening right now, if you're listening to this
Tuesday morning,
when you download it off kpft.org, we're helping.
Or if you're listening to us live on kpft.org, out on around the country, around the world.
Like Drina and Matthew.
Yes.
Or a friend of mine out in Austin that listens to us faithfully every week.
My friend Florida said he was going to be listening in. And that's the thing, is we want to be that reach. You're not going to agree with us every time? I hope you don't agree with us every time.
Yeah, if you agree if you agree with us every time, you're problems.
You know, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to use the analogy I used last time because people got upset about it. I don't believe in you should towing the party line on anything. And that's what we want to do, is we want to give that slice. We want to give that voice an opportunity. Send us, you know, an email, afterhours@kpft.org. I know we've got one person we're going to screen who wants to get in on the conversation. And that's what we want to hear, is we want to hear people, you know, if you don't like what we're doing, tell us what to do different. Tell us how to do it different.
Oh, I know when I'm making somebody mad on the radio show, I watch the phone lines light up.
we'll put your ass in one of these big pink chairs.
And so every time you're here, Buzz, the lights light up?
Oh, it's like Christmas. but this time we need you to call that number.
Yep.
7-1. Come on, I was giving you a chance to pipe in.
7-1.
Earn your key.
Well, you just keep on chatting and chatting and chatting.
713-526-5738.
713-JAM-KPFT. Or go to www.kpft.org. We've got the tip cup up there where you can place your pledge in there while we're on the air. If we're not on the air, you can always just go onto the site and place your pledge there and say you want to do it for after hours. Because, like Chris said, the couple that came to us 2 years ago, I got a friend of mine that lives out in Austin that wouldn't be where he is today without After Hours, because he listened to the show when he was in high school.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to make you laugh. We're going to make you cry. We're going to make you angry. But that's
what
we're here for.
We hope we make you think, too.
I actually did a show when I was in high school on free radio in Seattle.
They had high school
while I was still in high school. I was out in...
They had radio back then?
Oh, God, yes. We may have ridden dinosaurs, but we had radio.
Two tin cans and a string does not count as radio.
No, that's a telephone.
As a result of the program that I did, it was a series of interviews on coming out young and being openly gay in Seattle's public schools. As a result of that, my phone rang at 3 and 4 in the morning almost nightly, kids having heard the show and needing somebody to talk to. And mm-hmm. most of the time I was listening to kids whispering into the phone so they wouldn't wake their parents up. But the value of radio is just, and it's, you can't put a value on it.
But, again, we can't keep doing what we're doing without your pledges of support.
So give us money.
So, yeah, we can put a value on it. Give us your money to keep everybody on the air.
No, give KPFT your money.
That's what I mean.
Well, I'm saying us on behalf of the radio station. Yeah.
Cool. We've got, you know, if you need swag to go with it there, I know we've got cups, we've got mugs, we've got
T-shirts, towels.
T-shirts, the towel.
I have a cup in front of me, but it's got coffee in it.
You know, the basic level, you get a bumper sticker. And I'll tell you, this was strange. I looked out in the parking lot the one time at my work, and I'm going, I see a KPFT bumper sticker. And it's like, this is Tomball. What the hell?
Are you sure it wasn't in your car?
No. I actually don't have any bumper stickers on my car.
At least four of my tenants have KPFT bumper stickers on their cars.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm the only one in my apartment complex that has one.
I've seen your apartment complex, yeah. 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT or kpft.org. I think we've pitched enough here. We go back to leather ties. I believe you're going to be talking about some topic that, you know,
it's not going to be quite so leather tonight because I wanted to get just a little bit political and put my two cents in there. So if I tick you off, too bad.
And we might as well say this disclaimer up front. The views of Leather Ties do not necessarily constitute the views of KPFT.
After Hours or KPFT, but I think everybody's going to be on the same page with me unless you belong to the religious right. Yeah. If so, well, I'm not going to say that. That's crude.
Go ahead.
We're going to be talking about Proposition 8, Prop 8 in California. And what we have done is we have hunted down Judge Walker's rulings and opinion.
I downloaded the entire 144 pages summary and judgment from Judge Walker. And although we don't have the time to go over the entire
document, we've got some key points that we want to cover, and I think you're going to enjoy this.
And so, they're only 50 pages long, so we got it made.
No.
You know, you say you hunted it down. It took me all of about 30 seconds the day it came out to find it.
Yeah. I hunted for almost 5 seconds, damn it.
I have a tenant who's studying law, and he had a copy, so I had him email it to me.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, what's so amazing to me is all these people like Ann Coulter and all these other freaks screaming and hollering, they don't even know what the hell they're talking about. So let's put some light on Judge Walker's ruling. Everybody pretty much knows what Prop 8 is, but everybody's in a big hoopla because this supposedly gay judge passed down this ruling. So,
well, he celebrated by going to the opera. So
yeah.
There you go. I'd like to begin by reading this first paragraph because this is really, really important. This is Judge Walker's words, and this is a direct quote from that document. For the reasons stated in the sections that follow, the evidence presented at trial fatally undermines the premises underlying proponents' proffered rationales for Proposition 8. An initiative measure adopted by the voters deserves great respect. The considered views and opinions of even the most highly qualified scholars and experts seldom outweigh the determination of the voters. When challenged, however, the voters' determinations must find at least some support in evidence. This is especially so when those determinations enact into law classifications of persons. Conjecture, speculation, and fears are not enough. Still less will the moral disapprobation of a group or class of citizens suffice, no matter how large the majority that shares that view. The evidence demonstrated beyond serious reckoning that Proposition 8 finds support only in such disapproval. As such, Proposition 8 is beyond the constitutional reach of the voters or their representatives.
So.
Brilliant man.
Yeah. Well, with that said, the people who are for Prop 8 and want to continue to keep the ban on gay marriage, all of their expert and key and star witnesses basically all refused to show up and take the stand.
All claiming that they were afraid for their personal safety.
So a lot of them submitted depositions to the court.
Only two.
As opposed to, I said a lot, there was actually three of them, but submitted depositions as opposed to showing up. The rest of them didn't even bother to show up. So, the people who actually submitted their depositions,
Their depositions, the two that submitted depositions, claimed they were on the list as expert witnesses.
Yeah, well, there's actually three.
The qualifications that they gave for being experts were completely discredited because neither one of them had done any personal research in the area that they were testifying as experts.
Okay, here's where we're going to start. We're going to start with Catherine Young. Catherine Young was supposed to testify on comparative religion and the universal definition of marriage. The first thing I got to say, in the Constitution, it says separation of church and state. Why do they have somebody giving us testimony on religion? So, that said, Paul Nathanson is another person who was to testify on the religious attitudes towards Proposition 8. Again, where's the separation of church and state? So, both were scheduled to testify as expert witnesses, but in lieu of an appearance, because they were afraid for their safety, they had depositions entered into evidence. In both depositions, each testified that no potential harm could result from allowing same-sex persons to marry. Both of these people, Catherine Young and Paul Nathanson, they are both professors of religious studies. Nathanson testified in his deposition that religion lies at the heart of hostility and violence directed towards gays and lesbians, and that there is no evidence that children raised by same-sex couples fare worse than children raised by opposite-sex couples. Now, here's the big problem I have with this whole thing. This is not about raising children. This is about the equal rights of gay people to marry, not to have kids. Most gay men and most lesbians I know, they don't want children. They want the same equal civil rights.
Let's make it clear that both of these people that we're talking about, Catherine Young and Paul Nathanson, were witnesses for the proponents.
Yeah, for the people who want
Proposition 8.
Yeah, not the defendants, the people who are trying to keep Prop 8.
Yet in their
it's a little confusing because when you say the proponents of Prop 8 in this, where it's in the hearing, they are the defendants. They're the respondents.
Right, yes.
That's why I clarified they are the proponents rather than using plaintiff and respondent because
now,
just...
Yeah, because in the case is called Perry versus Schwarzenegger.
Now, this is funny. Nathanson, in his deposition, said this. And when
he made a better witness for the prosecution.
Yeah, for the prosecution, and basically said, if I had been called to testify in my intent,
I said
testifying.
Those are my words.
Oh.
If I had been called to testify, and my intent in testifying was to undermine the side of the debate that I was called to support,
I might not want
to show up either.
So the people who are for Prop 8 and the lawyers that want to, and the people who want to keep Prop 8 and keep gay marriage illegal, this is the best person they can come up with in the religious community that says that there is no problem with gays marrying.
Well, it's because George Reekers couldn't find an escort to help him give a massage in California.
Oh, damn. Well, I know. You know why? Because they found out what his email and handle is, and they banned him from rentboy.com. That's why.
The first expert witness to actually testify was David Blankenhorn from the Institution for American Values.
And we all know what that means, who they are.
The court permitted Blankenhorn to testify, but reserved the question of the appropriate weight to give Blankenhorn's opinions. The court now determines that Blankenhorn's testimony constitutes inadmissible opinion testimony that should be given essentially no weight.
The Federal Rule of Evidence 702 provides that a witness may be qualified as an expert by, quote-unquote, knowledge, skill, experience, training, or education. The testimony may only be submitted if it is, quote-unquote, is based on sufficient facts and data, and is the product of reliable principles and methods. Blankenship's testimony was declared to stand outside this purview, which means he's not an expert.
Not an expert. He's completely discredited.
He's completely discredited, and all of his testimony was thrown out.
The only other expert witness who actually showed up to testify was Kenneth Miller, and they found the same with him, that his testimony was not admissible as expert testimony, although they only limited the qualification.
Here's why. This is the best part. Here's why. Miller's credibility was further undermined because the opinions he offered at the trial were inconsistent with the opinions he expressed before he was retained as an expert in the case. Which basically said...
They shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, basically, his knowledge of political of the political power of gays and lesbians was found lacking in that he had done no specific research on the subject, had contradicted his own statements by admitting that gays and lesbians experienced discrimination, which affects their political power, and he further admitted that at least some voters supported Proposition 8, specifically on anti-gay sentiment.
Now, the questions that were addressed at trial were, are gays and lesbians seeking equal right or seeking a new
special right? If they're seeking special rights or just equal rights.
And it was determined through the testimony that gays and lesbians are traditionally set aside and set up as an undesirable class.
Second class citizens, fourth class citizens, basically.
And before all of this, it was determined that marriage under our Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, is a fundamental right.
We're getting there. Just wait.
And the questions in the testimony, it was answered that it is a fundamental right and that it is gays and lesbians are not seeking a new right, but seeking an equality under available rights.
And here is why. Marriage in the United States has always been, legally, a civil matter.
This is a direct quote from the trial transcript.
Civil authorities may permit religious leaders to solemnize marriages, but not determine who can enter or leave a civil marriage. Religious leaders may determine independently whether they recognize a civil marriage or a divorce, but the recognition or lack thereof has no effect on a relationship under the law. Basically,
that's
they are
clear.
Flat out saying separation of church and state, religion cannot impact the civil law.
That marriage is in and of itself a civil union, and that churches, while they may solemnize those unions,
they can either
they don't own them.
They can recognize it or deny it, but the churches, religion, cannot dictate who can get married or not. Civil law dictates that.
And if you're unsure about that, just think of the final words of a wedding ceremony, whether it's done by a priest, a rabbi, a mom, or whatever. By the power vested in me by the state of Texas.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I pronounce you husband and wife.
Which most people I know of, and it's pretty much, I think, 100% people, you have to go to a justice of the peace and get married beforehand. And then you go have your little religious ceremony.
Well, it's like Chris says, in all ceremonies, even in churches, it says, by the power vested in me by the state of...
Whatever state you live
whatever
in.
Whatever state it is. This actually, it absolutely points to the fact that marriage may be solemnized by a church, but the right to actually convey the rights of marriage under law belongs to the state.
So,
Judge Walker put it beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in Germany, it's very, very similar. You get married twice if you wish to be married in the church. You still have to be married first.
I think it's that way pretty much in every country, is the state has to marry you legally. And then if you choose to have a religious ceremony after that, you go to whatever your denomination is and set it up there.
The only exception to that rule that I can, if I remember correctly, is with the United States military. Because you can be married by a chaplain in the military.
Because he is actually a civil servant.
Yeah,
he is a government agent.
Yeah.
That's
what I was going to say, because he's duly deputized by the
And you can be,
federal
by,
law.
You can
by
be
federal
married
law.
By the captain of a ship.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we're saying. Because he is actually a
It's the civil authority part of him, not the collar.
No, okay. it's
he does it as the collar
understanding
also.
Understanding that when this country was very young, that different states gave the church the right to marry because there were churches in every little town. But there were not government agencies yet in every town.
They didn't always
town.
Have a justice of the peace in
right,
every town.
Right. And so the churches were doing the states a favor.
Which is why they always say, by the power vested in me by the state of.
And somewhere along the line, the churches just kind of...
appropriated it.
Yes.
Well, you let us do this. I guess we own it now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
no,
sorry,
you don't.
You don't own it. So.
Next on the list is determining whether or not Proposition 8 was establishing a group, considering gays and lesbians, establishing a separate and inferior group and using Proposition 8 specifically to discriminate.
Well, basically, yeah.
Judge Walker says, under Proposition 8, whether a couple can obtain a marriage license and enter into marriage depends on the genders of the two parties relative to one another. A man is permitted to marry a woman, but not another man. A woman is permitted to marry a man, but not another woman. Proposition 8 bars state and county officials from issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples, and it has no other legal effect.
So basically, slow down.
It's not finished.
I said slow down because I want to go back and say Proposition 8 basically is what he is saying is that Proposition 8 was enacted to as a private moral view without advancing any legitimate government interest.
And continuing on, it says, Proposition 8 places the force of law behind stigmas against gays and lesbians, including gays and lesbians do not have intimate relationships similar to heterosexual couples, gays and lesbians are not as good as heterosexuals, and gay and lesbian relationships do not deserve the full recognition of society.
No, we deserve more recognition because we're special. No, it's just, it's plain and simple. This is religious dogma being forced into the government. And yes, this government was founded as one nation under God, but it flat out states that there is a separation of church and state. The church cannot dictate civil law.
Well, that one nation under God and in God we trust didn't come in until the 50s.
Right.
As a way to try and root out communists.
Yes.
Because a communist.
Thank you, McCarthy.
Because no one will a good communist will not stand up and say, under God, and wouldn't handle money because it said God on it. And that was their way of trying to root out all the communists.
Oh, that's pathetic.
So. Judge Walker pointed out the discriminatory nature of Proposition 8 in line 67 on page 95, beginning at line 4. Proposition 8 singles out gays and lesbians and legitimizes their unequal treatment. Proposition 8 perpetuates the stereotype that gays and lesbians are incapable of forming long-term loving relationships and that gays and lesbians are not good parents.
And on page 88, line 18, it says, Proposition 8 requires California to treat same-sex couples differently from opposite-sex couples. I mean, they're trying to require the state to treat gays differently. This is no worse than the discrimination the blacks went through during slavery, as well as the right to vote, women's right to vote. This is an equality issue. This is not...
Oh, honey, haven't you
a religious
that
issue?
Yet?
Oh no, I'm
a long
saying.
Long time ago, we're the new N word on the block.
Yeah, I know that. We've been that since day one. But what I'm saying is,
we're the hate group du jour.
Would you go back and tell and take away a woman's right to vote? Would you go back and rescind? I mean, it wasn't that long ago, the 50s and the 60s, where interracial couples weren't allowed to marry because they were you had a black man and a white woman, or a black woman and a white man. They were not allowed to legally get married.
And if you can actually download the full copy of this transcript, Judge Walker actually uses that argument in drawing his conclusions.
So, I mean, it's
this is
just
simply social evolution.
It is a social stigma, and it is a bias that and a bigotry that needs to go away.
Well, I'll tell you
that is my opinion.
I'll tell you what amazes me is the people that have fought so hard and long against their own prejudices are just as prejudiced against us.
Mm.
Yeah, and you know, that has come out time and time again, and the thought that goes through my mind is, you're yelling and screaming prejudice every time you turn around, and you're doing this for...
Yeah, for who? You're doing this for your own personal gain, or you're doing this for peer pressure?
Well, you know, that's part of the reason why they feel that Proposition 8 passed as well as it did in California, was a larger African-American vote that came in for voting for Barack Obama. And this was an issue that was stirred up a lot in the more conservative African American churches,
mm-hmm.
that right. they feel helped stir that. And you know, now you've got Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece came out and spoke on the National Organization for Marriage bus tour, speaking out against gay marriage, and a lot of progressives have kind of
And oddly enough, Coretta Scott has always been a tremendous supporter of gay rights.
Yeah, which is amazing to me. But
yeah, and so I mean, it's that's part
not
of
that she is, but I mean, just the amazing contradiction within just one family.
Well, it's like
that's the world. That's the way it works. But
well, you just have to consider the contradiction within my own family, and it's really quite evident why.
Well,
it's there,
every family, I think, is like that.
I threw into our notes some of the conclusions. I don't want to run over time, so
we're not.
We've
got plenty
this.
Of time.
Okay. Proposition 8 is unconstitutional because it denies plaintiffs a fundamental right without a legitimate, much less compelling, reason. Because plaintiffs seek to exercise their fundamental right to marry, their claim is subject to strict scrutiny. And he gives some case law there. That the majority of California voters supported Proposition 8 is irrelevant, as fundamental rights may not be submitted to a vote. They depend on the outcome of no elections. That was from West Virginia State Board of Education versus Barnett.
Yeah, so there's already been rulings on stuff like this already that
you cannot promote this sort of thing.
Right.
It's not to be subjected to a vote.
He continues on by saying Proposition 8 does not survive rational basis. Proposition 8 cannot withstand any level of scrutiny under the Equal Protection Clause. Let me say that again. Proposition 8 cannot withstand any level of scrutiny under the Equal Protection Clause, as excluding same-sex couples from marriage is simply not rational related to legitimate state interest. A private moral view that same-sex couples are inferior to opposite-sex couples is not a proper basis for legislation.
In the absence of a rational basis, what remains of the proponent's case is an inference, amply supported by evidence in the record, that Proposition 8 was premised on the belief that same-sex couples simply are not as good as opposite-sex couples.
We're not, we're better.
Whether that belief is based on moral disapproval of homosexuality, animus towards gays or lesbians, or simply a belief that a relationship between a man and a woman is inherently better than a relationship between two men or two women, this belief is not a proper basis on which to legislate.
Especially when there's so much evidence and so many studies to the contrary, that gay couples and lesbian couples are just as stable and just as loving and just as long-term and just as committed and just as good at raising children as breeders.
And just as capable of filing for divorce and paying $10,000 to split everything.
And yeah, we're pretty to boot.
You would think the lawyers would be on our side, especially the marriage and divorce lawyers. And you know,
no kidding. They're going to rake in a bundle.
They'd rake in a bundle on, you know, and just think of all of the
wedding planners.
No, what do you call them? Those, documents you sign before you get married?
Prenups.
Prenups. Oh. Think of all the prenups. Gosh.
Yeah, for those.
I mean, can you imagine? Can you just imagine Lance Bass's prenup?
For which boyfriend? He's fooling around with one. He took leftovers on one boyfriend.
It doesn't really matter, though, because they don't have
a
legal right to get married.
Stanley didn't make me sign one.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have held up in court anyway, because you wouldn't be recognized.
Yeah.
Okay, so. In his conclusion.
No, this is only a portion of the conclusion.
This is only a portion of. This is from page 137, starting with line 14. Proposition 8 fails to advance any rational basis in singling out gay men and lesbians for denial of marriage license. Indeed, the evidence shows Proposition 8 does nothing more than enshrine in the California Constitution, the notion that opposite-sex couples are superior to same-sex couples. Because California has no interest in discriminating against gay men and lesbians, and because Proposition 8 prevents California from fulfilling its constitutional obligation. Let me say those two words again. Constitutional obligation to provide marriage licenses on an equal basis. The court concludes that Prop 8 is unconstitutional. And I find absolutely sound logic in that statement.
Absolutely. The whole thing. I've read the entire thing from cover to cover. The entire thing is riddled with absolutely impeccable logic.
And, yeah, I've read all 139 pages.
And what we got in those 139 pages is only the judge's synopsis of the trial
and his conclusions. It isn't the transcript of the trial. The transcript of the trial would you'd need a forklift.
Yeah.
But the main thing is what one of the parts of what he stated in there is because, from what I understand, the next level this goes to at the appellate court, it's no longer trial. This was the final trial
right.
of this.
Right.
So what he's done is he's boiled it down to items of fact.
Exactly.
Is that he went through like 89 what he called items of fact,
mm-hmm.
stating 80 yeah somewhere in there,
yeah.
of this is what I heard in the testimony and this is what I'm saying is the truth from it. You're not going to have any witnesses called from this point over in the ninth panel, the ninth circuit, or the Supreme Court, which are the next three levels of this.
Yep.
All they can do is rely off the transcript. And then they're asking of questions of the attorneys in this case.
Right.
Yep.
And so there's no more new evidence being presented here. This is it.
And sadly for them, but good for us, all of the proponents' witnesses were discredited, basically. They either contradicted themselves or they weren't technically experts in their field, did no case studies, did no research.
An interesting
and
side
their testimony
note.
Was thrown out because they didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
An interesting side note that actually became part of this document because Judge Walker made a point of it is that none of the actual proponents of Proposition 8 testified. Not one.
And another part of what they're having with the hindrance of this is it was kind of like, you know, none of the big guns came to argue this. You know, like I said, it's called Perry versus Schwarzenegger because the first respondent on it here is the governor, is Arnold Schwarzenegger in his capacity as governor of the state of California.
And he right. refused to testify.
He refused to be a part of this. The second person named on that is, I forget his real first name, but everyone knows him as Jerry Brown, acting in his capacity as the attorney general of the state of California.
Who refused
also
to testify.
Refused to testify.
Refused to testify. And in fact, after the ruling, both of them sent letters to the court saying, lift the stay immediately.
Yep.
So, and it was left to one group that was down there, and, you know, it was basically...
I know why Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't testify. It's because he was too busy filming that movie with Sylvester Stallone
right.
to even bother running the state,
right.
let alone testify. How can this man be a governor of a state, supposedly run the entire state, and I will say into the ground, but that's just me, but still have time to make a $2 billion movie?
Well, because he's the governator. Know?
But Governor Moonbeam could have stepped in, but he didn't want to step in either.
Governor Moonbeam.
That's Jerry Brown's nickname.
I love that, right. Governor Moonbeam.
Yeah, back when he's running for governor again.
Oh, no.
I think he's a Democrat.
So what
candidate.
Do they call Sarah Palin? The Aurora Boring Alice?
Oh, no. The Aurora Boring Anus.
Good one, yes. She needs to shut up. She really does.
Oh, no, she's funny. She's one of the best comedians on television now.
Well, I know. We lost Lucille Ball. We got Sarah Palin.
Did any of you see the clip? It was all over YouTube. The clip of her talking with that teacher who had that huge sign out there, worst governor ever. And she's actually talking to this woman. She says, and Sarah Palin, in her very gum-snacking, very back-homey way, says, so what do you do? And the woman says, I'm a teacher. And you look at Sarah Palin's face, she looks first stunned and then bored. She rolls her eyes. Oh, you're just a teacher.
Oh, was it just that?
It's like, no, my God.
But the other...
Okay, but
did you notice the other person who, when she said she was a teacher, before Sarah said, oh, there was another person who said, oh, that's Little Miss Knockup 2009 Bristol Palin.
Well, I don't understand how...
Who was off camera.
No, she was on camera, but her back was to it.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand how Palin even gets any airtime. She couldn't even finish one term as governor of her state. Why are we even putting her on the TV?
Because Fox News needed a pretty girl that wasn't a blonde.
It's because she looks like the librarian in every porn film you've ever seen.
No, she doesn't. She looks like that chick from Saturday Night Live. What's her name?
Tina Fey.
Tina Fey.
No, Tina Fey looks like her.
Tina Fey.
The poor thing.
I would rather watch Tina Fey pretending to be Sarah Palin than actually have to watch Sarah Palin.
True.
Well,
at least it might not be as funny, but at least it'd be more
just
accurate.
Just wait. It's going to get even crazier now that supposedly Levi Johnson is planning on running for mayor of Wasala.
I know. After promising to marry
Oh, no, I'm not going to. Promising
Wait,
to marry?
No.
Oh, no, I'm not going
to. No, he promised to marry. He still wants to get married, but apparently he has possibly knocked up another chick, so
Bristol called it off.
But no, supposedly they're talking about, and they're going to make it into a reality show, him running for the mayor of Wasala.
Those two are more drama than daytime TV.
The problem is they won't give him the deal unless he gets married. That's why he keeps saying he wants to get married, because he won't get the actual TV show deal, the reality show, if he's not married. Because nobody will watch just him. Because we all saw the Playboy episode, the Playgirl spread, and know he's not worth it.
But because Levi Johnson didn't show his Johnson.
Yeah. He has one?
We were there for the hot... Well, he used it at least once.
Wait. Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he did prove it was his...
Yeah.
It was the other one.
He had that all that hoopla over the Playgirl spread and all. What did he do? He tucked and taped.
They're all media whores.
Total drag queens.
Yeah.
All of them. They're all media whores.
Anyway, Prop 8, yay, it's been overturned. It better stay that way because it is unconstitutional. Well, it is biased.
The problem that we have now is that now it goes to the appeals process, which means this is if the proponents actually take it to appeal, this is going to land in the Supreme Court.
Well, they filed the appeal already.
They've already filed the appeal.
And they've also filed the request for the stay.
I really want this to go. What I'm really sick of hearing is all these right-wing idiots, especially the ones on Fox. Trying to compare gay marriage and human rights and equality issues with abortion. Because they keep comparing Prop 8 to the abortion laws. This has nothing to do with abortion laws.
We're talking about the difference between equality and the right to privacy.
Like I said when we started this conversation, this is no different than the emancipation of the slaves and giving black people their freedom, finally.
The right to vote.
Giving women the right to vote.
Giving blacks the right to vote.
Giving blacks the right to vote. Giving interracial couples the right to marry.
It's simply social evolution.
It's social evolution.
Come on, people. It's time to evolve. We've been a few generations out of the caves, okay?
Well, here's one thing about it. There's a chance that they could make that, it's, from what I understand, from what I've heard in that, it may not even get to the Supreme Court.
I hope it does, but I hope it does. Because if it at least gets to the Supreme Court, they can't appeal it anymore.
Yeah. The thing is this. If the appellate court
throws it out,
says
it's over, it's done.
If I remember correctly, the way the Supreme Court works is each one of the districts, there's 9 federal districts across the country, each one of them is basically assigned to a Supreme Court justice.
Correct.
Right. And so those cases are funneled into one Supreme Court justice, and if he says, I'm not interested in this, it doesn't go to the full Supreme Court to even decide whether they're going to hear the case.
Right.
The appellate court could rule on it, and it becomes law.
So the gatekeeper to the Supreme Court is Justice Kennedy, who is a swing vote on that. So it's possible that this could go through to the Ninth Circuit. It'll go to the Ninth Circuit panel, and then it'll be contested up to the full Ninth Circuit, the full court. Depending on how they vote, depending on how Justice Kennedy feels about it, he could be the gatekeeper and say, that's it. We're not going to hear it before the Supreme Court.
If the appellate court refuses to hear it, it's done. It's over.
Well, all the appellate court has to do is uphold the decision that Walker made.
Boom.
And it's done.
It's done.
So right now, the big thing, what you're going to be hearing from it is on Wednesday or Thursday, the Ninth Court will be announcing their decision on the stay.
The stay's been lifted.
No. The stay's been lifted, but it does not go into effect until Wednesday.
Correct.
Judge Walker...
The 18th, yes.
Yeah, the 18th. So what basically Judge Walker did was say, hey, Ninth Circuit, you've got 7 days...
To review this.
To review and decide it. So that we don't have this situation where we would have 7 days of people getting in line to get married and then put another stay on it and have that limbo of are these people married?
18,000 couples that are already married in California.
Because there was a line around the block.
Those marriages technically at the moment are not legally recognized because of Prop 8. Yeah.
So,
I cannot imagine this going to the Supreme Court because what would that do to DOMA?
I don't know. They'd have to stop.
Massachusetts is challenging DOMA now.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because that would be the challenge of it, is because of if it's recognized in California as full marriage equality,
for people
then
who
you've
were
got
as,
the
as
full faith and credit clause in effect.
For people who were as confused as I am, I was assuming that because DOMA passed and it was a congressional vote, that it passed as a constitutional amendment. That is not true. It passed as federal law. Mm-hmm. But not constitutional.
Which is a strange thing. Is
but
this
the federal law can still be challenged under constitutional grounds, reviewed by the Supreme Court.
Technically, it I think the problem is this, is you have to, just because the law is on the books, you have to have a practical use of it to take it to court.
Exactly.
And the problem is we don't have that yet, because DOMA cannot really stand under constitutional review because of the defense, because of the full faith and credit clause.
Right. Exactly.
When one state recognizes... another state does has to recognize, and DOMA says no. So what we have to do is it has to wait for...
It has to be challenged.
Well, you have to have a challenge, and you have to have a challenge that is...
Just like Roe versus Wade.
Legitimately stated. That you have
oh, my
California
gosh, an abortion reference. Did I just turn into a Republican? Did I just turn into Ann Coulter? I mean, I know I'm blonde, but, you know, I'm not that big of a bitch.
DOMA was nothing more than a right-wing preemptive strike, knowing that certain states were going to legalize gay marriage. The right wing went in with DOMA to do a preemptive strike to be able to say, okay, you can recognize it, but the rest of the states don't have to because we passed this law.
And
but
Clint, again, you got to pass it there, because we've got a little black dress here with something on here that you have to show that you're good for marriage, even though you're you know, outstooping the chubby chick down in the copy center.
Okay, well, again, like it says right here in this conclusion, Proposition 8 prevents California from fulfilling its constitutional obligation to provide marriage on an equal basis.
Okay, but he's referring to the California Constitution, though.
Yeah, the California Constitution has a non-discrimination clause about for homosexuality on that. But when it comes down to it, it's, you look at it, I also heard part of what he was saying, that under the U.S. Constitution, you can look at it as being gender discrimination. You're not letting these two people marry because this one's a man.
It is
that's
gender
one of the points that we addressed.
That's one of the ways that
that is actually one of the points.
It's discrimination
in his
on the basis of sex.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation.
Yeah.
He defined them both and shot them both down.
Yes. If you actually read the whole 130-some pages,
oh, I encourage everyone to please find it and read it. It's fascinating reading. The logic in it is absolutely impeccable.
Yeah,
and like I said, you know, he went through the points here because this is because, like I said, it's not there's no more trial, no more question and answers about it that are coming up. So he went into a lot of detail, and you know, the right wingers are nailing him on and saying this is just trying to show how much of a gay political activist he was doing. He's wrote his manifesto. It's like
no. He knows that his transcript, the transcript of his conclusions, are going to make it to the
people
appellate court.
Yeah, no, the people who are shoving their manifesto down our throat are the right wingers, because their manifesto is not based on law, it's not based on fact, it is not based on any case studies, and it's actually quite unconstitutional.
Based on myth and conjecture.
Yes, it's based on that myth we call the Bible.
Well, let's put it this way to the religious folks out there. Realize that one of the greatest stories in the Bible of marriage involved an arranged marriage between a 14 or 15 year old girl and a 36 to 38 year old man. They never met before they were married, and prior to them getting married, she started showing signs of having a child. During the times of that, you had to be a virgin because you're property and you were supposed to be unsullied, and actually was punishable by death.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And but the man agreed that to still
marry
take
her
and marry her and carry,
care for the child.
Care for the child and do the right thing. And this prearranged marriage of a underage girl and a man old enough, you know, twice her age, that's Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
And the bastard child was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's what we're going by. You know, your other story of marriage involves a bunch of fish and loaves and water turning into wine.
Yeah.
And I was thinking in chips.
Oh, no. But that, you know, this is...
I think they were drinking seawater, but, you know, that's...
The fact is...
Yeah, because seawater can make you kind of loopy when that salt hits your brain.
Marriage
it does
is
feel
a
like
contract.
Jaeger bombs.
It's a civil
to carry
contract.
On property. That's what it was always based off. It was the way for a man to make sure that his property was taken care of, and that property included his daughters, his wife in some instances, his business, his home, his land.
Oh, under Old Testament law, if a man dies, his brother is obligated to marry his wife.
Yes. That's what
and
it's
to take
about.
On his children as his own.
It has nothing to do with love or procreation.
It was a business arrangement.
It's the protection and the sharing of resources.
It is a legal business arrangement. That's all it is.
And it's been...
Does that mean if I get married, somebody will take care of me?
Oh, we'll take care of you without
I would hardly consider you a resource, Derek.
Well, there is that definition they use in the
school. Love you more than my luggage.
You know, that pouty face, you look just like my bulldog. That's cute. Yeah.
You gentlemen are being awfully generous with your description. It was not business. It was power.
Well, yeah, yes. It was power.
Business just happened to be one of the tools for protecting power. But the fight... Right. Started and ended with the fight over who was going to rule the world, and power is the basis for rule.
Oh, yeah.
I am. Let's just get that right here and now. I'm going to rule the world.
Oh, really?
Well, actually, I may not, because I've determined that lesbians are going to rule the world.
No.
They're taking over one lick at a time.
We're going to rule the world. We're going to screw it up, and the lesbians are the ones that are going to have to come in and fix
it. If you're going to rule it, I'm going to yardstick it.
You always measure everything.
Oh, that's so pathetic. Go metric, okay? This is the 21st century.
He's going to meter
yard
stick it?
Stick it. He's going to meter stick it. He's going to meter my
He's probably just going to stick it somewhere and move on.
I say we need to...
Do we need to do a station break?
I want to say let's wrap this up. Well, I was going to say wrap it up. Let's hit a song, then we do station ID and come back with Roundtable.
Ooh, why don't we do Pledge while we're
here? I think I'm done bitching about Prop 8, and I think we've kind of proved our point. This is an issue of equal rights and not a religious issue.
For those of you who are listening, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We love you. We're glad to have you.
And we promise next month on Leather Ties, we're going to get really kinky and talk about real leather. I just had to get this Prop 8 crap off my chest.
We wanted to talk about the other kind of bondage, the bondage of marriage.
Yes.
Yeah.
We talked about the bondage of marriage tonight. Next time we're going to talk about
rope.
Real bondage. Rope, handcuffs, and a few other toys.
Ooh.
I've got at my
school. I'll even bring my rope bag.
What's that one? Play that. We're going to go out with DJ Kiyoki. He's passed on now. He died from AIDS a few years ago. But Kiyoki did a great cover of Relax, Frankie Goes to Hollywood Relax. So we're going to play that because we want everybody to just relax. Why can't we all get along?
and you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener sponsor, commercial free Pacifica Radio, 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, www.kpft.org. We're going to listen to a little more music, come back with our MBBs, and do some roundtable.
God, you suck at a station ID.
Kiss my dairy ear.
It's the second time you've offered tonight.
A little Sylvester for you, then we'll be back.
Yep.
All right.
That was Sylvester.
Yeah. Wrong Sylvester, but yes. Oh. That was Sylvester, the power of love.
Sylvester. Hey, I figured someone needed to talk with a lisp on this show. Let's go stereotypical.
Yeah.
Sylvester the cat.
Did that one in honor of our 25th anniversary couple out there, so... And just to keep the ball rolling with our pledge drive, we did get our usual pledge from Paul.
Yes, good old Paul. He always comes through.
Yeah. So thank you, Paul, for that. We appreciate it. Nice amount there, too.
And if you ever want to find out about some of the work that Paul does on that, go to the Facebook page here for After Hours, which I think 97% of the photos are from Paul and Sea Owl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On that.
That would be seaowl.net.
That's seeowl.net.
Yep. Look at the hooter and catch him in a net.
Ooh.
Paul is actually a pretty good photographer.
Yeah.
Half-assed if he wants to be.
Ouch.
Well, his half-ass is better than my full ass. So.
Yeah, we've already got his check, so he ain't...
I tease
Paul.
Yeah, he teases Paul. But
who the hell don't I tease? If I don't tease you, that's when you worry.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That's when it's time to worry.
When he doesn't tease, then we know that he doesn't like the person.
No, that's usually he doesn't feel well.
That too.
He doesn't have to like the person.
Yeah. But, yeah. But now we come to our time of the show where we thank our MBBs and read their letters.
Mm-hmm.
And, we brought in Doug. Doug is now going to help us out with that. He's taking time to read the letters and the poetry beforehand, so it makes it a little bit easier on us.
Yeah, sometimes I can't see what I'm reading because my eye teeth are missing, but, you know.
But anyway, who are you going to read on first there?
I have in my hot little hands Deep Cover.
Ooh, all right. Mm-hmm. Deep Cover's a good, is a nice guy.
Did we read the whole letter since this is my first time?
Just kind of paraphrase.
Well, we just kind of paraphrase it and then read the poetry.
Well, mm-hmm. Then let's start off. Dear After Hours, Jimmy, West, Chris, Judy, and yes, you too, Marlon. Hey, Marlon? Guys, how you doing?
Here we go again.
Oh, my God.
Merlin, like the wizard.
It says Marlon, M-A-R-L-E-N. He's not talking about you.
He's just... that's we had one of the Whalen brothers on last week.
Yeah. Apparently. Oh. I see.
Ooh. I was wondering who Marlon was. I was trying to figure that out, but I thought I'd just go with the flow.
Mm.
I'm easy that way. Hey, guys, how y'all doing? Good with no real complaints. I hope I'm doing good. Could be better and have been worse, so I can't complain. All right, let's see. He caught some of the Hatch talk. He said it was very interesting. I almost forgot. Hi, Jimmy. Hi. I'm glad you made it back safely and those damn candies didn't try and keep you.
No.
He missed you.
Thank you.
And let's see. I'm not very good at paraphrasing.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, editorializing, paraphrasing. I usually just spit out everything that is.
Don't spit on the show. We swallow. One of the reasons why we have Doug in here now is because someone made a comment that someone was kind of having trouble reading the text. He wasn't going to hold it against them, but he wanted to hold something else against him.
Mm. Ooh.
We'll admit it. It was Deep Cover that said it.
Yeah. I do have something else I'd like to hold against you, though.
Oh.
Wink, smile, with a tongue sticking out. Hmm.
My only question is what... we know what it is, but I want to know the dimensions.
Oh, you want an outline?
Well, outline, picture, I don't care.
Okay.
Oh!
Hmm.
Do they make paper that big?
I don't know, honey. Well, yeah, legal size.
Yeah. Funny that.
Well, I don't want to know about his legal brief.
Well, we're talking about my ex now when we go into the legal size.
He says with a growl.
Where'd that chair
memories.
Go?
Oh, great things, memories. Actually, what I'm going to do next...
Let's just go to the poem.
And I'm going to read the three poems that he sent in. And I am going to start off with
his grandmother's poem, Just Because I Can.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes something like this. It's titled The Star of Love. The star of love is whispering my song. I wait for love beyond the gloom of night to glimpse an image I have dreamed of long before, caught in the violet glow of light. The star of love is whispering my song. A spark of hope that knows reality lies warm against the breath of humid air. To touch the heart when dawn becomes a sea of life's uncertainties, one must forbear through tears, but borrowed laughter is a part of life, and inspiration is a stream that flows with time where love sustains the heart. And while the young at heart must drown their dreams, my heart knows I must worship from afar and wait for love upon the evening star. I kind of like
that's
that.
That's nice. That's very nice.
I really did. His grandmother was a pretty good poet in my my insignificant. Now I'm going to do the last poem next. My Old Friend is the title. My old friend has came again, the one I call sin. He takes my hand in his bony grasp. Come, come along, my man. He sings in gravelly rasp. We dance a little jig, and off we go. And look what he did. The bastard stole my soul.
Ooh.
Huh.
I liked that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very good.
I liked that. And then the last one he sent for me to read is called Fatal Attraction, also known as a love poem. And I saved this one for last for a reason. A moth dancing in the night towards the flickering light of a burning flame that's forever calling its name, always dancing towards its doom, knowing the end will come all too soon. Yet still the attraction is there, and without other care, not feeling a thing, it dances into the flame. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Now, Jimmy's got the second letter in his hot little hands, and I'm going to let him editorialize because it was rather...
he told you.
He told me. Well, then I'll editorialize. It is from Daryl Barnett,
mm-hmm.
who is having a temporary reassignment to another facility for a couple of weeks, and he may be out of touch, and he's hoping that he will get to listen to us tonight, and I'm hoping he's listening to us tonight
me too.
I get to read his poem for him, and if not...
By the way, Doug,
when he comes back, yes, darling.
Your request from earlier in the evening in regards to his letter, we don't have here at the studio.
No,
his July 30th.
Oh, okay. Letter. He had written in a couple of questions in the letter before it got to my hot, sticky little fingers, and mm-hmm. I'll apologize because he refers back to a couple of questions he asked. But unfortunately, I don't have that letter in my hand to read the questions so that we can give him an answer.
Right.
However. If I understand what he's written in his letter correctly, he will be back listening to us within 3 weeks. That's 3 weeks from tonight. And I will plead with Jimmy to provide me with the letters that he sent prior to this. And I will find his questions and I will dig up answers for him and make sure he gets them. And I also, after we read this next poem, I am going to read off the addresses of some MBBs that mm-hmm. would like for you to write to them. And I heartily encourage you, because these poor people, some of them have no other human contact in the state of Texas.
Daryl being one of them.
Yes, Daryl being one of them, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Have no other comment.
He's a really, really sweet guy.
Yes, he is. I got that from his letter. I really enjoyed reading his letter. And unfortunately... It was too long for me to editorialize, other than he's a very sweet young man, and I really enjoyed reading his letter, and Jimmy did too.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy acknowledges that he read his letter, and he enjoyed reading it as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, Daryl, don't despair because we don't read any of your letter. We actually all read it. We just didn't read it out
loud.
And
we're not really sure that he's listening tonight either.
And that's the other thing. In 3 weeks, I'm going to bring this back up. I'm making myself a note. on my computer to make sure that I have this in my hot little hands and talk to Jimmy beforehand. Mm-hmm. The week before, I'm going to remind Jimmy to bring me the letter from this one before. I can find the questions. We'll give him the answers. I just hope it's the right question because I love those answers.
No. It's a couple of personal questions.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then Jimmy may have to give the answers.
Yeah, I do.
Ooh. All right.
And so, I did, actually, but he didn't hear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think we've answered several of his questions before, but he never got to hear them.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll just have to write him the answers.
Possibly. Yes.
Well, we'll find somebody that's good at that.
I know.
I'm not one that's good at correspondence.
Oh, God.
These guys are much better at correspondence than I am.
I know.
I can just read things. And Daryl sent in a poem he labeled My Precious.
Ooh.
And I thought that right after I read this, we should segue into Pledge Drive.
Okay.
My Precious. The after-hour show is a precious jewel that sparkles and shines each weekend Sunday. The revelation we have is truly divine. Your nature, Jimmy West, Chris, and Judy, is sweet. And your personalities are all unique. Your sexy conversations and Jimmy's flirtatious knocks me off my feet. What man would not be proud to call the after-hour show his own? Promise me, my precious Jimmy West, Chris, and Judy, you will never leave me alone. And then to do that, what we need you to do is to pledge.
Yes.
Send in your pledge if you want to hear good quality programming like After Hours.
Yes, and we have had a myriad of emotions and segments tonight we started out really having a fun time and joking and laughing with the events of the next week going on, and remember Falcon here, and then his other half, Scott, showed up, and we just had a ball talking about Reese's and personal stuff and all of that. Then we got to the leather segment tonight, and they did something really different, realizing that the leather segment is a part of the entire GLBT community.
Yes.
And they had a really good, serious talk about the California Prop 8 decision and went through it, you know.
All 137 pages?
No, but...
they boiled it down.
They had a synopsis of it, of that synopsis, and it was fascinating.
And now we're getting ready to talk about Duck Dick.
It really sounded it really sounded like Robert and Buzz really put some effort into this, because they read through it all, they made notes, and I just thought that was fascinating. Yeah. Then, you know, we have our MBBs letter, and we love our MBBs. And now we're going to talk about Duck Dicks. Go figure. You know, I told you, this is a show that gives you 4 hours of queer life every week.
And you never know what's going to happen.
Well, that's right.
Especially that little window between 3 and 4.
Now, before we go to that, did you want to give out an address?
Absolutely. I'm glad you just reminded me that I forgot to do that. And I pulled them up in my hot little hands.
I don't know that Deep Cover wants you to give out his address. Are you sure about that?
I don't think he has said that, but if you want to write to Deep Cover, you can always send your letter to us here at
That's
After
right.
Hours,
and
we'll
forward it to him. Yeah, I don't think
it doesn't say one way or the other.
No,
so I'm not giving it out.
He's not ready to have his.
But the other person specifically asked us to give out this address.
Oh, Daryl, yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
And if you would like to help these young men out, you can either send the letters, as they said, to us and tell us who you would like us to forward them to.
Or
send them directly. And in this case, it's Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, Barnett, B-A-R-N-E-T-T, number 119-5962, Stringfellow, Stringfellow, unit, 1200 FM 655, Rosharon, Rosharon, Texas, 77583.
Let me ask you to repeat his number one more time, because that's
That's actually, most important.
That's the most if you don't have that number right, he doesn't get the letter.
So one more time, the number 1195962.
Mm-hmm. Cuz these guys in the prison units are numbers. They're not names.
And yeah. And very seriously, these people literally have no one else in most cases.
Especially Daryl, because he has no one in Texas.
Right, and he said that he was from mm-hmm. somewhere, Georgia, wasn't it, I believe?
He has yeah. no one in the state of Texas, no relatives.
None whatsoever. So, you know, that would be a lonely existence.
Mm-hmm.
No visitors, no letters, no nothing. That would yeah. just, that would break my heart thinking of somebody like that.
I know,
yeah.
I know.
And like we said earlier, if you don't want to write directly, you can always send your letter to us here at After Hours. You can send it to us directly at the station. 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas 77006. You can put it in a smaller envelope inside of a larger envelope. Say who you want to send it to, and mm-hmm. we'll make sure to forward that on.
You bet. We'll be happy to do that.
Or you can email it to us at afterhours@kpft.org,
mm-hmm.
and we'll go ahead and print that out, put it in an envelope, and forward that on to you also. Mm-hmm. Forward it on to the inmate also,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be glad to be that intermediary for you.
It makes us think back in high school when you're passing notes.
Yeah,
yeah. More or less. So,
not that we would ever be guilty of such a thing.
Okay, no, I'm waiting with bated breath to hear about yeah. duck dick.
Is oh, that comes up a little
is
later.
What smell is? Yeah.
Oh,
so
he's going to make us wait, isn't he?
Well, just a little bit.
Got to start off with a couple of serious stories on here.
Oh,
you know, so, we're talking about marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let us turn now to our half round table.
Well, that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is. Out of a story out of Argentina, who recently legalized gay marriage. Hairstylist Nestor Baroche was among Argentina's first gays to get married after Congress and the president signed the bill into law in July, filing paperwork with his partner Adrian Garcia and becoming the southern city Mar de la Plata, Del Plata city's first same-sex couple to get hitched. It makes for shot sudden death at his own wedding reception even more harrowing.
What?
Oh, my God.
After falling ill at the party, he was rushed to the hospital but was unable to be saved. He died this morning at 7 a.m. as a married man.
Oh.
What killed him?
It doesn't say.
Oh, you're kidding.
It doesn't say here in the article. But the fact is that the reason why I did this story was those last four words. As a married man.
Yes.
You know, to go through all that struggle and that, and to cross the finish line and basically collapse after breaking the tape.
Yes.
That's the reason why I chose that story and decided to carry on with the marriage concept we've been talking about.
Wow.
New Mexico judge says marriage license issued to same-sex couple is valid for divorce proceedings. A New Mexico judge says a marriage license that was among several issued to same-sex couples in 2004 is valid because a case challenging them was never litigated to its conclusion and that divorce proceedings related to that license can go ahead.
Oh, it's okay to pay the lawyers to get the divorce, but they won't recognize the marriage. Got it.
What it is, State District Judge Sarah Singleton's decision came in a hearing in a divorce petition brought to by Angela Maria Carraro and her former partner, Carla Janelle Haught. Haught, representing herself, moved to dismiss the petition, arguing that her marriage to Carraro was invalid from the beginning because New Mexico law does not authorize same-sex marriage. Carraro's lawyer, Amber Train, countered that New Mexico law does not ban same-sex marriage and that no judge has struck down the licenses issued by Sandoval County Clerk Victoria Dunlap on February 20, 2004. Hmm. Singleton avoided the broader issue of whether gay marriage is legal in New Mexico, but stuck to the issue of whether the gay marriage licenses were invalid from the beginning or could be declared invalid later. Dunlap said she may be negligent or mistaken, Singleton said, but the licenses she issued are not void from the inception, but merely voidable. 66 same-sex couples received marriage licenses from Dunlap in 2004 before the state attorney general ordered her to stop. So basically in New Mexico, a county clerk issued 66 marriage licenses to same-sex couples because she didn't know any different.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't told she couldn't do it.
Exactly.
And there was never a court deciding whether or not what she did was wrong.
Right. Exactly.
So
there's simply a ruling that she can't issue anymore.
not even really a ruling. The Attorney General said, "Don't do it anymore."
Well, I meant by the Attorney General.
Yeah, no, a court has ruled on this, and that's what the judge's argument is. No one has said anything. You know, he was just told not to give any more out. There is no ruling or decision made on whether or not they were legal.
So it seems like to me somebody ought to push that concept. They ought to go try to get a same-sex marriage license and get denied and then file suit.
They have been doing that here in Texas. If every Valentine's Day for the past several years, there is a Freedom to Marry rally, and several same-sex couples will go to the county, go down to the county clerk's office in downtown Houston, and go through the ceremony of asking, "We would like to get a marriage certificate," and have it be denied. And you know, I was teasing about it with the ruling that came in there. One of our customers is a Catholic church, and when people come in to get married, they have this envelope that we print that they have to fill out all the information on it. And so I teased with the production manager. I said, "Should we change bride and groom to party one and party two, just so they're ready for it?" He chuckled and said, "No, let's not do that."
I'm still suddenly reminded of the repeated joke done by more than one comedian about, of course, you know, a straight comedian said, "Of course, gay people should get married. They should be just as miserable as the rest of us."
Exactly.
I was like, and hey. I think if more gay people had to go through divorce, they might think twice about...
Well, eventually here, I got to try and figure out how to download it from my DVR. Robert Klein did a song about gay marriage.
Right.
And no one's posted it to YouTube, so I got to try and get it off my DVR that I can bring it in and play, because it is... The basic concept of is that they should be as miserable as the rest of us.
Yeah. I paid my $10,000 for divorce once in my lifetime. If you think I'm getting married again to another man or to a woman or to a dog, you're absolutely incorrect.
Closest thing I've ever had was a holy union ceremony, and that was a very unholy union.
Just because you call them demon seed doesn't mean it's unholy.
Spawn. Demon spawn.
A lot of don't ask, don't tell stories coming out this past week. Another person, 20-year veteran, 3 bronze stars, has... came out, and this time he came out and then went on Rachel Maddow rather than the other way around. And so they're working on the discharge papers for him. A lesbian cadet at West Point has came out and resigned. She was one of the top in her class, and she's doing it now because, from what I understand, when you go to West Point, you're there for 4 years, and after the beginning of your third year, you basically sign a contract saying you're going to do this for, you're going to, you know, 10-year military hitch.
Yep.
And so she came out before it came time to sign for that.
And if you don't, then you have to pay them back for your education.
And so she,
yes, you know.
And so
yes,
she opted out before
she had to,
while she could have out.
Good girl.
And here's
sounds like she worked the system to me.
Yeah. An interesting story here.
Be the first one.
They've got video from this guy on Tola Road. I'm not sure if it comes through. It's also probably on...
Now, before you read this, I'm going to say one thing about that article, because they call him... They give a rank that is not in the Navy in there, so...
Oh. So you can find it on YouTube. You can also find it on Tola Road. Like I said, they refer to him as Navy Specialist, Jared McIntosh. Was on a submarine. And he had a phone with him. It was confiscated after he brought it by accident into a restricted area on the submarine.
Which is a huge no-no.
Bad seaman.
Yeah, it's a huge no-no. You're not in any restricted area. It doesn't matter if it's a submarine base, ship, doesn't matter. You are not allowed to have anything like that on your person. Doesn't matter if it has a camera or not. You're not even allowed to have it.
Well, you might text those secrets out.
You mean you're not supposed to have a phone on this submarine at all?
No, not
I don't think you're going to get much
restricted area.
I don't think you're going to get good reception.
Yeah, you're not going to get much reception under the water anyway.
Well, probably.
But still,
you leave that in your bunk.
Yeah, 99% of cell phones today have cameras on them, so they don't want you. They don't need those in those areas.
But I wondered on WikiLeaks.com.
And again, Navy Specialist is not a rank. So.
Actually, I seem to remember that you're not even supposed to take a phone, period, on a submarine, because I remember that it was
Well, just considering the fact that most phones also have GPS programming in there.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, that and the batteries aren't very conducive to that pressure either.
When the phone was confiscated, it was searched by the Navy base's security and found very personal photos of McIntosh and his boyfriend. McIntosh is challenging his discharge. And so they've got there's some video of him basically, telling his story on YouTube.
That's going to be interesting because in the pursuit of a different
doesn't that kind of violate the don't ask, don't tell?
Don't pursue.
Don't ask, don't tell.
It was discovered. It was discovered in a criminal investigation.
That would be the own hitch there, I would think.
Yeah, but it didn't pertain to the criminal investigation.
True.
The case out of Montana where a police officer went and searched a house that was owned by two lesbian couple. One of those was a member of the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And during the course of their investigation, they found a marriage certificate from Iowa for the couple. The police officer reported that to the Army, and they began discharge proceedings on her based off of that testimony coming from a third party.
Wow. You know, when it comes to lesbians in the military, I look at that I take the Eisenhower thing on that one. I mean, really, if you're going to drum every lesbian out of the military, there would be like five women in the military between all the branches.
Well, not exactly, but it's a high number. Yeah. It's a high percentage.
Yes.
The sad part about that story is they did go. The unfortunate thing is they found those pictures, but they did find them in a legal manner.
Mm.
Yes. Since he did violate a federal law,
and they had to make sure that he didn't have anything classified.
Yeah. Well, they could technically discharge him for that alone.
Yeah, they could.
Mm. So you know, it's not like they're actually discharging him for being gay per se. They're discharging him.
It just didn't help
for
his case.
It's just the easier fight is. You're not gay? Well, exhibit A is in your exhibit B.
Oh, baby, there's a lot of straight men that ain't gay. Just because they like to inhale on certain long
cylindrical objects.
Yeah, it just kind of goes back to the old saying that a Navy submarine goes out with 101 sailors on it and 50 couples and one lonely guy comes back.
Yeah.
Well, there could always be a three-way in there, you know.
Well, that's true.
You never know.
Mikey!
Hey, Mikey.
But it seems that the armed services take a rather liberal view of the don't tell part.
They do, and it's all kind of more discretionary to the command unit, because there are some commands, like the one I left when I was discharged, and everything about my discharge was very amicable. I retained all my benefits and everything,
good.
But the command I had, they were very lenient. I mean, they gave me the choice of I could remain in the military and do what I and continue on with my job and everything, and they wouldn't do anything to me as long as I kept it very low key.
Yeah,
or I could go home.
Okay,
and I chose the latter.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's all up to the command and how and the way they view things, because most commands are very forward thinking.
They should be.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's...
Well, they could be very rearward-thinking.
That too. But, I mean, it's just a matter of...
Especially if they're cute.
It's a matter of more of the mindset of the people in the command than it is the... It's rough saying the whole military in general, knowing that there are some people out there and some commands out in the military that will turn a blind eye as long as you're following the rules.
Is it just merely my perception? Does it appear that the Army is more
homophobic thinking than most of the rest of the branches. Well, maybe the Air Force. I don't know anything about
that. I would say more the Marine Corps, but, I mean, it's hard to say that not being in any of the other branches.
Excuse me, 99% of them Marines are standing on deck. Never mind.
Well,
yeah, the main thing is this, what you're talking with the military and all that, is from what they're hearing from a lot of the studies and all that, is most of the people who are opposed to this are your long-term career officers, the old guard,
right,
and the civilian overseers.
Mm.
You know, the people who are there at the whim of whoever the president is, and people have been there for so long, they probably still have a problem with blacks and women being in their units.
Yeah. Mm.
So they're going to hate anything that's not the purebred white guy,
mm-hmm, right?
Because that's what they want to look in the shower and see.
Let's just fire everybody above the rank of lieutenant commander.
Well, I wouldn't even say that low. I'd probably say more like maybe...
Birds and stars?
birds long-term stars, bird. Yeah. The long-term birds, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the main thing what you're talking about, is that it's the old guard that is... because everyone you've heard coming out and talking about their stories and all that, they're coming out, Lieutenant Choi, the recent guy, I forget his name, who was just on Rachel. You know, they all said, you know, the people in my group, you know, whatever level they're in, no problems with me. It was a great, you know, it was a... Easy separation, you know, it was amicable. You know, it's just the civilians and the higher ups that caused the problems.
Survey after survey after survey has shown that the people in the service have no problem working with a gay person.
Oh, most people don't. I mean, and from my experience, I mean, as long as you're following the rules and you're not blatantly doing something to where it's seen and made public out there to the entire command, they don't turn a blind eye to it.
Right.
Unlike the two Marines that got caught playing hide the sausage in the upper hole.
Yeah. okay. I still go by fire them all, let P flag sort them out.
Yeah, I mean they were. I mean they blatantly sat in one spot in front, knowing full well that there was a camera there. And the executive officer of the ship, flipping through the ship's cameras one day, got a nice little show. But it wasn't the show he was wanting.
Whoops.
Oh.
35 minutes later, he went down to investigate.
Next thing.
35 minutes later in a box of Kleenex, he went down to investigate.
Next thing I knew, I heard from a friend of mine that was part of the mustered arms crew that we had two Marines in the brig getting ready to go shorebound.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Last thing on this. So they were caught swabbing the poop deck.
No, they weren't swabbing the poop deck at all. They were swabbing. They were polishing a knob, more likely.
And I'm so disappointed with everyone in here. With all the words that we've thrown out here, we don't want to say anything to talk to. Just put it out there saying discharging semen. I'm disappointed with y'all.
We were avoiding that.
It's too easy.
Too easy.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, we are easy, but we're not that easy.
There's another word for semen that they used in the Navy. I couldn't remember what it was. Somebody told me what it was.
Ejaculate?
Remember. No. I mean, the actual
sailor.
Rank.
Instead of a C with an A in it. I love this. This is one of these stories that I love. That's a little touch on the hypocrisy. From Warsaw, Ohio. Strip club owner Tommy George rolled up to the church in his grabber orange Dodge Challenger, drinking a Mountain Dew at 9 in the morning and smoking a cigarette he just rolled for himself. Pastor Bill Dunphy stepped out of his tan Nissan Murano, clutching a Bible in one hand and a sermon in the other, a touch of spray holding his perfectly coiffed dew in place. Inside the New Beginnings Ministries Church, Dunphy's worshippers wore polyester and pearls. Outside, George's strippers wore bikinis and belly rings. Both men agree it's a classic sinners versus saints, but George says it's up to America to decide which is which and who is who. Dunphy says God has already chosen. Tom George is a parasite, a man without judgment, Dunphy says. The word of Jesus Christ says you cannot share territory with the devil.
Oh, brother.
The battle that they're here for played out in the parking lot of Georgia's strip club, the Foxhole, a rundown garage-like building in Coshocod County.
Stuff writes itself, I swear.
Yeah. Crossroads called Newcastle has shifted 7 miles to the east to Church Street. Every weekend for the last 4 years, Dunphy and his members of his ministry have stood watch over George's joint, taking up residence in the right-of-way with signs, video cameras, and bullhorns in hand. They videotape customers' license plates and then post them online and try to save the souls of anyone who comes or goes. Now, the dancers have turned the tables, so to speak. Fed up with the antics of Dunphy and his flock, they have finally accepted his constant invitation to come to church.
Woo-hoo. Oh, wow.
Hallelujah. Pass the gravy.
It's just they've come wearing see-through shorts and toting super soakers.
Oh.
They bring lawn chairs, and yesterday anyway, grilled hamburgers, monster energy drinks, and corn on the cob.
There's some baptism going on there.
They sat in front of the church and waved at passing cars, but largely ignored the congregation behind them. Likewise, the churchgoers largely ignored the dancers, except for Sam Braxton. He stopped and held hands with Lola, a 42-year-old dancer who made $200 on her Saturday night shift, and prayed for her salvation. Lola, who wouldn't give her last name, said she was grateful for Braxton's prayers and his time. The women don't come here, after all, of their own version of religion. They bring signs with scriptures written in neon colors. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Revelations 22:11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Greg Flagg, the executive director of the Ohio Owners Coalition, a group of show bar and club owners, he called the women's protest extraordinary, saying he's never heard of anything like it in the country. George said the protest has been a long time coming. He sued the church in federal court several years ago, claiming a violation of his constitutional rights, but he lost. Now, he said, turnabout is fair play.
Good for him.
When these morons go away, we'll go away, George said. The great thing about this country is everyone has the right to believe in what they want.
That's right.
He says the club operates within the law. Dunphy says it does not, and it must close at midnight instead of its regular 2 or 3 a.m. County prosecutors said Friday only that he and the sheriff and the city prosecutor are aware of the situation. Gina Hughes spent the morning soaking up the sun in her striped bikini, mostly oblivious to the fire and brimstone preached inside the tidy church building. The 30-year-old mother of six says she danced at the Foxhole for a decade and holds the title of House Mom. Yep. That means that even though she still dances, she also watches out for six other women who work there. She says she makes $2,000 a week. These church people say horrible things about us. They say we're homewreckers and whores. The fact of the matter is we're working to keep our own homes together and give our kids what they need. Dunphy said it's not that simple. He constantly offers women help, a chance at redemption. I will tell them, I will put a roof over your heads, and your bills will be paid, and your children's bellies will be full.
Sure.
He said, what, though? Yet they... it's Baptist church, not Catholic.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'm sorry. Scratch that.
In the first few weeks, Dunphy
Bread
piped
juice
the
and crackers.
There you go.
The first few weeks, Dunphy piped the sermon outside, but that agitated them, he says. He made them dance in the streets. He said the presence has united his church members and reinvigorated their mission to shut down the club. Now they have seen the evil firsthand. It's just made us stronger. George just laughed at the notion. They're mad. They're just mad because their wives won't let them come to my club.
Well, hey, now they're coming to the church, so.
Oh, goodness.
Two magazine stories.
Uh-huh.
And I like the first one.
Yeah, the title of this article is called Res Erection. Just after,
sticking with the church-going theme.
Yeah. Just over a year after they went under, Inches, Plague Eye, and Mandate, yes, the print versions, seem to be heading towards a revival.
Woohoo!
All right.
At least according to a video industry source with knowledge of the situation. Commentary from the website. I guess we'll believe it when we see it, but it appears it'll be a done deal, and the magazine will be published by their original publisher, Mavity.
Wow.
And they have a picture here of Inches magazine, which most recently was seen on the Stephen Colbert show. During his discussion of Prop 8, and he said that when Judge Walker said a thing about using meter, he said, of course you use meter, because, you know, metric is the gayest version of measurement.
Yeah, I remember
except for
that.
Inches.
Yes. That was last week.
I saw that.
Yes, our special correspondent, Stephen.
Yes.
Last month we talked.
I get so confused when they do it in the metric system. I don't know if it's like this big or this big.
I know.
That's why I have a bookmark on my internet browser that takes me to a conversion calculator page.
You and me both.
Because, see, for me, not only do I need, you know, length.
I know.
For height. I need it for weight because, I'm talking to these British boys. It's like, I'm 10 stone. What the hell's 10 stone?
140 pounds.
Oh, right off the top of his head.
I picked an easy number. It's 14 pound is a stone.
Yeah.
But, you know, otherwise, when I start going to kilograms and all that, it's like, oh, God, what do I... scroll it down.
2.2 kilograms to the pound.
Yeah, and is 20 centimeters really long or just average?
I think that's about
7 or 8
inches.
Yeah, about that.
Well, you know what the problem is, Jimmy. We've been told our whole life this is 6 inches.
I know.
It's my mother's joke. My mother holds up a thumb and says, this is 6 inches. Your father tells me this is 6 inches, so it must be 6 inches.
I love you, Chris, but there are things about your mother that still disturb me. Some of these stories just really...
I know, right?
I told her I've said this. Yeah. I tell my parents some of the stuff I say on the show, and they're like, you don't. And I go,
oh, yeah!
Is it true?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Of course he does.
Of course.
I'll download the video. XY Magazine, we talked about them a couple weeks ago.
Oh, what about XY?
The defunct publication website XY, there was a risk of being ordered to turn over private information.
Oh, yeah.
The publication's publisher, Peter Ian Cummings, was going through bankruptcy proceedings, and one of the few things of value he owned was user information,
Ooh. Most
of which belonged to gay teens the magazine served. Back on August 11th, the Electronic Frontier Foundation reported that Cummings and his former partners and the debtors have agreed to completely destroy that personal information. It will not be considered part of the publication's transferable assets.
Oh.
That's a good thing.
That's a...
Well, it's very young people. And a lot of older people.
That's a few...
I just heard a collective sigh of relief go across the city.
I did never had a subscription. I just bought it at Hollywood.
So did I.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Hold on. I stand corrected. Crossroads.
Oh my goodness, you're dating.
I own every issue.
I bet you do, honey.
Why does that not surprise me?
I love that magazine enough for the cheesy reason.
I'm a founder of GCAM. That's why.
Yeah, and again, I replay Girl Lighting article. Yeah,
that doesn't surprise me.
Is that what you're going to use when they call you to court?
Whatever.
That's like me using the excuse, I was just doing research for the radio show. Trust me. I never meant to do it.
I loved that magazine.
Peter Ian Cummings is not a well man.
No. But I will say this. Do you know how much easier that something like that magazine would have made kids' lives if it had come out 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, it's in a glossier, kind of superficial way, it's like Hatch.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there was nothing, you could sell it on any magazine stand in the country.
Yeah, well, there wasn't anything really pro-sexual about it, right?
No, there was some, it was no worse than an Abercrombie & Fitch catalog.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's probably no more because there's a TV catalog.
No frontals at all.
There were stories.
Maybe a pube or two.
I mean,
how do you like walking into that conversation?
People used to tell stories in there. You know, you'd hear stories in there about, you know, there'd be poetry about kids who had tried to kill themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was some serious stuff in that magazine beyond the gloss, you know? But beyond the glossy pages, there was some serious stuff in there. And, you know, I might have been a happier teenager if I'd have had that magazine when I was that
age. A little less glossy, they'd still be in business.
Yeah.
You know, he tried to make it too grand.
Do we have the story now?
Let's go to our crime blotter, then we will go to the animal world. Because I got two.
Oh,
I was going to cover a lot of this here.
This just in.
Everyone's heard the story of Steve Slater.
Oh,
yeah. The JetBlue. His story seems to be unraveling as we go on.
Yeah.
Passengers on the plane are saying he was drunk on the flight. I've seen the video of his escape, and didn't spend a lot of time really looking down to make sure no one was under him. The cutesy story was only one or two people were reporting it ahead of time, but when police knocked on his door to arrest him for this. He was in Falecto Grande with his boyfriend.
Oops.
So that was his fag hag posing as his ex-wife then, I guess.
No, what, who bailed him out?
Yeah. They were interviewing somebody who was claiming to be his ex-wife.
I think she was, you know, but no, he was with his boyfriend. Now, of course, the biggest part of the immortalization of this is the Apple News out of Thailand who done a CGI cartoon of him sliding down the slide with a beer in each hand going, "Wee!"
Oh, boy.
The same people who did the wonderful Tiger Woods saga.
Yes.
Odd-looking man.
In there. So, since the story is changing, we're going to hold back on this. This was just an interesting one from a very confusing little story out of New York. A sexual tryst turned violent on early Friday when a man used a corrosive liquid to douse another man he caught with his transgendered lover.
Oh, boy.
Ruben Olivares walked into his Upper East Side home only to catch his 19-year-old flame about to perform a sex act on Ontario Lara, police and the victim said. The jilted lover, a porter who works in the building, splashed Laura with the liquid, which investigators believe was hydrochloric acid, and hightailed it from the scene.
That's
muriatic acid.
That'll eat right down to the bone.
It depends upon what the strength is. Yeah. You know, we have hydrochloric acid in our stomach. I mean, if it's you know, one molar, I'll agree with you. It's very deadly and very dangerous. Yeah. But you know, if it's the, it may have just stunk is all it did. Yeah, no. You know.
Now, here's where it starts getting interesting. She wanted money for oral sex, Laura said in the news to the news from his bed in New York Presbyterian Hospital. So I gave her $20. Then this guy comes through the door. He brought a coffee cup. I thought it was coffee, and he threw it at me. It was acid in the coffee. It was very hot. Neighbors heard the ruckus about 6:20 in the morning. The girlfriend came out running out, screaming and naked.
Oh.
Laura said he met the unidentified teen through a phone service he saw advertised on television. She sent him a photo and they agreed to meet before he went to work as a scaffolding builder in Queens. Olivares used his key to get inside the apartment and soon spotted Laura. An argument erupted and the porter tossed the liquid on Laura. He suffered burns to his face, neck, arms, chest, and stomach. He's in serious but stable condition. Witnesses say the firefighters sprayed the father of two down with water while cops searched for Olivares.
Oops.
The fire department guys were telling him to stand still, said a witness who watched from a scene from his bar. It was crazy. I never saw anything like it. Neighbors don't express much sympathy for Olivares, who said he has a wife in Queens. So basically,
I'm going to leave that part alone.
So for those of you trying to score this at home, the attacker ran, threw acid on a guy who was a father of two, who was getting a BJ from his transgendered girlfriend, and then ran home to his wife.
Oh.
Afterwards.
Cool. Okay.
It was transgendered hookup.
No, it was his girlfriend. The guy who threw the acid.
The mistress.
I've lost the total layout of this entire scenario.
We'll be featuring a playbill online for you to follow.
Is there going to be an animation about this on YouTube?
I hope so.
yes.
Wow.
Can we have an 8x10 glossy with circles and maybe arrows on the front and a short paragraph?
Next crime blotter.
Next crime blotter.
I can't figure this out because this gets cute.
Yeah.
What is this? There's not enough live women in Wisconsin. Alexander C. Grunke has been found guilty of grave robbing caper that came about when his brother allegedly wanted to have sex with a corpse.
Oh, God.
He wanted to crack open a cold one?
Oh. Protected sex, no less.
Oh, my God.
That's cold.
Oh. Do you know what kind of bacteria is in a decomposing body?
Stop.
Grunke of Mount Herbert was charged with attempted third-degree sexual assault. He'd been previously convicted of criminal damage to a cemetery and theft. His brother Nicholas was found guilty on three similar charges last year. The story goes like this. The Grunke boys and a third guy, Dustin Radke, paid a visit to a Cassville cemetery in 2006 so they could dig up the body of Laura Tennyson, who had been buried just the week before after dying in a motorcycle crash. They saw her picture in the local paper.
Well, at least she was fresh.
You know, why can't they be like all necrophiliacs and just go to mortician school first?
The idea was to dig her up, haul her corpse back to a spot behind Nicholas's home where they could fulfill some seriously twisted necrophilia fantasy.
Mm.
On the way to the cemetery, they stopped at a Walmart to pick up condoms.
The poor woman's body was spared the ultimate indignity when the guys were nabbed by local cops. They'd already dug down to the top of the vault holding her coffin when they panicked when they were picked up after being reported for acting suspicious.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't have a headache till just now for some reason.
Nicholas denied saying he wanted to have sex with a corp. No, just some platonic, quality platonic time, he insisted.
What?
To which Grant County's assistant attorney...
Are we talking like Tom Petty and Kim Basinger in that video?
I guess. Said you don't need a box of condoms to carry on a conversation. You don't need a box of condoms to go chit-chat. You can read the whole sword criminal complaint on thesmokinggun.com. I mean, he's a cutie.
I have a suggestion for this
guy. He's not too bad.
Yeah. He needs a 20 pounds of ice, a large bathtub, fill it with water, and hire a hooker to lay in it until she's nice and cold, and then, you know.
There you go.
It's just cheaper to dig up the body sometimes.
Let's save that. Sorry. Let's go to the animal world. We got two stories real quick here because we're running close out of time. Delisted last Sunday. Listed this as our hot slut of the day. Red, a hermaphrodite dog in San Bernardino County, recently underwent gender reassignment surgery to become a dude. One-year-old Red was found aimlessly wandering the streets of San Bernardino after some cruel person with a heart made of white dog doo-doo dust tossed his ass out without a dime to his name. After Red was picked up, he was taken to a local animal shelter who discovered he was born with a peen and a poon. The condition is so rare in dogs that published data does not include an estimated percentage. Now, I'm sure most dogs would love to have two sets of genitals. If my dog had his own Facebook group, his ass would be licking my own. The animal shelter couldn't afford the surgery, so they were this close to gassing poor Red and sending him to heaven prematurely. But a donor...
Paul is here to take a picture of that right now.
But a donor saved the day at the last minute and paid the $1,165 out of pocket for the operation. Red is now ready to party and looking for a home.
Lovely. And last but not least,
from Wired Magazine.
You know what's going to happen. He's going to grow up. He's going to start taking hormones and then want to have sex reassignment surgery.
Lovely. Last story.
Duck's penis length depends on other guys.
What?
From Williamsburg, Virginia, new measurements that find the maximum length of a duck's penis depends on the company he keeps. In this case, it's his fellow males that make the difference. A drake's penis substantially wastes away at the end of one breeding season and regrows as the next season begins. Among lesser scaup and ruddy ducks, the regrowth varies in length or timing, depending on whether the males have to compete with a bunch of other guys.
I didn't know you could screw your dick off.
It's a corkscrew shape one. So. Patricia Brady of Yale University. Now, here's the thing. This study is from Yale University.
Of course it is.
And somebody spent money.
Somebody's got way too much time on their hands.
Her new measurements offer the first evidence.
Quarter says it was a federal grant.
Says social circumstances influence penis growth. She reported at the annual meeting of the Annual Behavioral Science. In many bird species, males don't grow specialized organs to deliver sperm. Ducks typically do. Their penises sometimes reach considerable lengths. 9.8 inches for a ruddy duck.
What?
Wow.
9.8 inches. So if someone says you're hung like a duck, be proud.
Is there an unusual shape?
Yes. We've got pictures.
Oh, come in here, Jimmy.
You can find the pictures at wired.com/wired.
Jimmy's about to find out.
And here comes the crew from outside to see the pictures.
Oh, my God.
I'm guessing that's the...
I told you it was. That's the inside. That's the... That's
what sticks out?
Sticks out.
Okay. Basically, it looks like if you get the corkscrew that you pull off the cap and you stick it in the other end to give you the tension on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't stick the other part through there. It looks like it's got a bulbous head on the one and a corkscrew coming out the other end. And they have a picture of it with a 2-centimeter bar to figure out the scale. And God bless that duck. But, of course, you know, if this duck was in Houston, you know, with 9 inches like that, it's going to be a bottom.
Yeah, go figure, right?
So.
And here we come to the top of the hour.
Coming up at the top of the hour, after we clear out the pictures of duck penises from the computer, it is Zydeco Pasale, followed by the Red Eye Special here on KPFT as we get into the home stretch of this pledge drive. 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT, or kpft.org to place that last-minute pledge of support. Thank you to Paul and to Mr. Anonymous.
Ed.
Well, I thought he said don't name his, don't put his name on air.
I just said Ed.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Thank you for calling your pledge of support there. We appreciate everyone who has helped us out on this. We'll get the numbers later. As we said, you've been listening to After Hours. Queer Radio with Attitude and listener sponsored.